Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends, to the kickoff of the live 4-hour Friday global transmission, already the 4th day of December 2015. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Leanne McAdoo will be hosting the 4th hour today. Wow. We've got our reporters on the ground now in Detroit tracking these different Islamic training centers. We've got so much huge breaking news on the economy and so much more. A bunch of big guests coming up today. But here it is out of CNN, the Associated Press. What we told you a day and a half ago, the shooters in San Bernardino had pledged allegiance to ISIS. They had tactical gear, pipe bombs. It was premeditated. It wasn't over the Christmas tree, though I'm sure they did target Christians and Jews and others. I mean, we know that's amongst those that were killed. Some of the other folks, now it's coming out, and that's what we're working on, who were connected to Islamic groups, were left alone. That's the way it always is with a jihad, and Obama is proud of his work. Here's John Bowne's report.
Let's just call it what it is, because we can. At the bare minimum, the coordinated massacre that just took place in San Bernardino, California, was a jihad. As was the 2009 massacre that occurred at Fort Hood. But the media spun that one too, calling it workplace violence. ABC later reported, attorneys for the victims of the 2009 Fort Hood massacre said that the alleged shooter's admission that he gunned down his countrymen to defend the Taliban proves that the assault was a terrorist attack and not, as the government had implied, workplace violence. But the bought and paid for media, its handlers in the Obama administration, won't let up on their warping of reality.
We've received word that this shooting was not at a Planned Parenthood, so that's at least some perspective on where the shooting may be taking place. Obviously, with what happened...
Is there a Planned Parenthood nearby? Is that...
That may be the case.
Within minutes of the shooting, a deluge of leftists on Twitter immediately blamed the massacre on white people, conservatives, Donald Trump supporters, the NRA, the Second Amendment, pro-lifers, and men in general. After the shooters were named as an Arab man and woman, progressives suddenly lost all interest in the story. While media would have us all shelter in place in gun-free zones to be picked off like scared little rabbits, gun sales skyrocketed days before the shooting, during Black Friday, breaking record background checks. And the whole debacle stinks of a false flag funded by the mysterious $50+ billion Americans blindly throw at the avalanche of liberty-devouring alphabet agencies illegally surveilling and manipulating the public consensus to keep the Big Brother machine rolling. The Inland Regional Center that was attacked in San Bernardino, California, had been conducting active shooter drills for months. The LA Times writes, at first, Dorothy Vong assumed it was a drill, just like all the others at her work at the Inland Regional Center, where she's a nurse.
That puts
the
it in their mind.
The staff works with clients and parents of clients who are sometimes
angry. That's soft mind control.
They have active shooter drills every month or so. The devout Muslim man and mail-order Pakistani bride that unleashed the coordinated attack at the Inland Regional Center had been creating remote-controlled bombs in their home, predetermined preparation to commit violence on a large scale by two radicalized Muslims. That's right, radicalized. Call it what it is. CNN reports Syed Rizwan Farooq, one half of the couple behind the San Bernardino shooting massacre, was apparently radicalized and in touch with people being investigated by the FBI for international terrorism, law enforcement officials said on Thursday. Not a workplace grievance, Washington. This has jihad written all over it. In my humble opinion, we are reaching a point eclipsing any talk of impeachment or the evocation of the 25th Amendment, considering President Obama's sanity or lack thereof. We may have arrived at a point when Frank J. Larkin, sergeant-at-arms and doorkeeper of the U.S. Senate, being the only officer that can arrest the Manchurian candidate currently quarterbacking an American jihad in the United States, must dust off the handcuffs and enter the Oval Office. John Bowne for Infowars.com.
Fear is the passion of slaves. And this man knows no fear. He is Alex Jones.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
There's too much confusion.
There's too much confusion.
I can't get no relief.
I can't get no relief.
Well, the relief's here. It's called the InfoWar. Being informed, being involved, having a long-term historical lens through which to view the world. Not taking preconceived notions or stereotypes into account, but actually researching what's unfolding. That's what we do here, live, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 hours a day. Now for almost 19 years, weekdays, been on air 21 years, coming up in about a month and a half. I am your host, Alex Jones. Thank you so much for joining us on this live Friday, December 4th, 2015. Joe Biggs and crew are visiting different radical Islamic centers that have been reported around the United States, reported training camps, you name it. And we've got very powerful drone footage over one of the more famous ones in upstate New York, known as Islamabad. They call it that themselves, and they've now gotten out of the area and have gone to Detroit. So they're able to report on what actually happened in New York fully coming up in about 25 minutes from now. They're also going to be going to Dearborn and other areas that have been fully Islamified. And whether you're for that or against that, we're just detailing something that mainstream media does not really focus on. Then we have Paul Joseph Watson joining us as well, Peter Schiff, and more today. Peter Schiff, obviously, on the economy. U.S. health spending hits $3 trillion as Obamacare and rising drug costs kick in. It's massively increasing the overall cost of health care, the opposite of what they promised. Initial jobless claims in the U.S. rose massively last week, 269,000. S&P posts biggest drop since September, Standard & Poor's. That is just some of the economic news on that front. We'll be talking about for 30 minutes with Peter Schiff today. Again, Paul Joseph Watson will be joining us on the latest that's unfolding with the terrorist attack that they now admit did take place in San Bernardino, California, a day and a half ago, 2 days ago. This will be 2 days ago in a couple hours. And he'll also be breaking down the expanded war on Christmas. We're all over the U.S. Official colleges from the dean's office or the president are saying red and white or red and green are racist now and are gang colors, hateful to other groups, and do not have secret Christmas parties. Secret Christmas parties will be persecuted, prosecuted, attacked. And I'm reading these statements. It's like the Twilight Zone. Don't disguise a holiday party. You know, don't disguise a Christmas party as a holiday party. That's an actual quote. So you think we're in a tyranny now. This is what young people are learning when they pay $40,000 a year to go to college and to have their development arrested and to be put deep into debt and to basically have a worthless, desperate future where they cling to the system and the promises that they've been told that will deliver them to this wonderful heaven as long as they submit to the latest, greatest political correctness. So that's obviously coming up as well. The war on Christmas and more is coming up. But first, this cultural overwrite of America, this political correctness offensive that's taking place against free speech in any existing culture not controlled by the social engineers, has a real ace in the hole. And whether it's Europe or the United States, whether it's Australia or Canada, they use radical Islamic terror as a way to actually restrict people's free speech, saying we must submit to the radical Islamicist or they will attack us. We must do as they say. And then the government and the socialist organize an alliance with ISIS and others to then take the people's liberties in the name of safety and security and community tranquility when they're the ones dumping in third world Stone Age populations that can't live with each other in peace. Much less with us. Then when the terror attacks take place, the Panopticon spy grid is endorsed, it is expanded, and then focused and targeted against the actual liberty-loving populations. So this is a classic problem-reaction-solution. And the social engineers also know that when they have shooting drills for not one, not two, not three, but 4 years, every month, at the health department, San Bernardino City Complex, complex of big buildings and government activity, a political correct cult of demonizing guns, living in fear, having police drills, learning to put your hands up and march out, protected no one, did it? The neighbor said, yeah, we thought they were planning something. It was very suspicious. They were living right next to him in a duplex where they were making bombs and had body armor and all these guns and weapons. I mean, that's not suspicious at all, is it, when it's two people from Saudi Arabia? But they wouldn't report it because it would have been politically incorrect. That is in the LA Times. There's town hall. Neighbor didn't report suspicious activity of San Bernardino killers for fear of being called racist. And so when you have drills every month for years, and he worked there for years, imagine an unstable, crazy person who then went to Saudi Arabia, got radicalized, got his wife in Saudi Arabia and came back ready to commit jihad. You just had a couple months ago when he was in Saudi Arabia, the nation's main clerics, main imams, main religious leaders calling for low-intensity conflict, gun and bomb attacks on soft targets in the West, the great Satan being numero uno target. So you have people coming from that region over here and everyone coddling them and the very liberals that worshipped this jihad being killed. And, of course, Paul Watson wrote an article about it last week. ISIS came out and admitted an alliance with European socialists and told its ISIS operatives, do not target leftists, do not target the socialist parties, do not target those opening the border. Well, obviously, this guy didn't get the memo. And he went and targeted Christians and Jews, that's who they killed, at the workplace, attractive women. There are just hundreds of people in the building. But he targeted the good-looking women. He targeted Jews and Christians. Classic. So some of it was workplace. I don't really want to back up what Obama's saying, but yeah, show everybody, you know, in your jihad just how manly and tough you are when you gun a woman down begging for her life on her knees, knowing that she'd never have a gun to defend herself. Somebody try a jihad right here, 357 Magnum, M4, riot shotguns, armored doors. I mean, we're just not going to roll over. Sorry. Not going to be a cakewalk, not going to be on my knees going, oh, please. Oh. But you've got your scumbag leader who they say spoke Arabic and was able to quote the Quran better than some of the top clerics. When he first spoke in Egypt and apologized for America and apologized for Christianity, the Muslim world's mouth was hanging open, especially the Muslim Brotherhood, because he was speaking from passages used mainly by hardcore radical Sunnis. And they hit their knees and they said, is this the return of the imam, of the Mahdi? And now many radicals do believe Obama is the Mahdi. And I used to hear this 6-7 years ago from people, WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah, Glenn Beck picked it up. And I just said, there is no way that's actually happening. Our elites, as corrupt as they are, would not pull something like this. Well, they are. I just cannot believe it myself. Now, it's a clash of civilizations. I believe down the road they're going to crush it. But our liberties in the process. Now, for about 6-7 hours after the attacks happened 2 days ago, up until about 8 at night, and we've done reports on it. We've shown you the articles, the video clips. CNN, MSNBC, ABC News, NBC, CBS said, probably a white person, probably a right winger. It's Donald Trump's fault. There were three articles I saw saying, fresh off Alex Jones's show, there's a mass shooting. I bet him and Donald Trump are proud of themselves now. So, within minutes, they were blaming people who were pro-Second Amendment. And then they've been covering up the last day and a half since it came out that they were terrorists connected to ISIS. ISIS praised the attacks that burned down America. Here's the headline, CNN. It's also in the Associated Press. San Bernardino shooting attacker pledged allegiance to ISIS, officials say. And they've gone into their computers, all the rest of it. And they'd also pledged to him, to Barak al-Baghdadi on Facebook. Three U.S. officials familiar with the investigation told CNN. Malik Post was made on an account with a different name. One U.S. official said the official did not explain how they knew Malik made the post. Well, they all got their little jihad handle gnome de plumes where they go out and have their fun and they're recruiting. And they just sit here in the middle of this Babylonian decadent nation that I personally have a lot of problems with, too. And they just flip out, folks. Can you imagine hanging around in San Bernardino in the middle of liberal central in there? And they're in there totally untouched. I mean, a Jew can't walk down the street in Saudi Arabia without getting killed. A Christian, you try to speak out, you'll be put in prison or executed. This is the, quote, tolerance the left wants to ally with. And they bring these people in, and you've got these fawning liberal Jews, fawning liberal white and black people, Hispanics, and they're just getting guns put right to their heads and having their heads blown off. While people literally scream, God is great. What do you think a lot of these atheists thought as they were getting hit by that, and Christians and others? This is so sick. I mean, before all these, quote, liberals say, bring in all these refugees, you understand Saudi Arabia and others tried to just take over Syria. It's very nice land compared to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia took it over 80 years ago before. This isn't their first rodeo. And they're there, and they got their butt kicked by the Russians now, so they're all fleeing to Turkey and then to America. And there are going to be attacks every week or every month now. It's going to get bad. And they're going to try to take our guns. In fact, Obama has announced it. They're coming for our guns.
We will not be forgotten. We won't be left behind. Our memories live on in mortal mind. And poets feel we'll rise again.
I am a Midwest farmer. I make a living off. Fallen since the middle of July, and if it don't come soon, my crops will die.
The bankman says he likes me.
The bankman says he likes me, but there's nothing he can do. He tells me that he's coming, but the clouds are coming too. He ain't my friend, and I'll rise again.
Well, Willie, as bad as the old-fashioned bankmen were locally, they aren't 1/100th as predatory as the big six global banks that have written regulations all over the world to shut down all the small local banks. And it's pretty near impossible now to get a small business loan or a farm loan. They only give the big companies the loans. And the banks do still classically try to call in those notes a few years early, hoping you can't pay when you've been paying 18 years on a 20-year or 25-year note on that farm or that house. They try to come in and repossess it. And they're doing it all with fiat made-up money from the Federal Reserve that they get for zero. It's a big club, and we ain't in it, to quote Carville. And a lot of folks out there that don't realize how much trouble we're in and in mind of the social warfare garbage, they think the average guy that has a new Mercedes or a five-bedroom house is rich and somehow screwed him over, so if he falls, they're going to get wealthy. They don't understand that it's the big mega-rich that are openly funding the class warfare itself to bring down the wealth ladder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the landlord has now invited the media into the killer's home in San Bernardino, California. There really is no end to this. And I talk a lot about how we see a overthrow of reality, an overthrow of common sense by design. Obama's bringing in the so-called refugees. Almost 99% of them, I mean, it's in the high 90s, are Sunni Wahhabist. Most of them, upwards of 80%, have fake passports and aren't even from Syria. They aren't vetting them. They're bringing them in. They won't let anybody look at them. When they disappear, the federal government says don't worry about it. And they keep parroting, these aren't terrorists, this isn't a terror attack, until it's proven that they've got Facebooks pledging allegiance to the leader of ISIS. And, of course, linking to Al-Qaeda. It's the same organization, the same movement. And so it was George Carlin that said, it's a big club, and we ain't in it. And he goes, you know, the test score is never going to get better because the nation's owners, the owners want us dumb. And, you know, we interviewed George Carlin once when he was doing a book signing. One of my reporters did. And we said, what do you think of 9/11, the official story? And he goes, I don't buy any of it. You think you can believe anything this government does? It's been used to take our liberties and our freedoms. Now, again, does that mean that the average cop ran the attacks or the average military person? No, the media always spun that like the post office ran the attacks. Alex Jones believes the post office ran the attacks and the NYPD. They actually said that. He believes the government did it. No, the government allied with Saudi Arabia, bare minimum, let it happen to take our liberties, and they've been proven. And that's why I've been demonized by the criminals in government. Not the government, but the criminal element that knows what's going on, because we understand, folks, that they are allowing radical Islamists to come in and to attack us, and then they turn around like Obama has done, and I'll play it after the break, with his White House press secretary saying, yes, the president believes gun control is the answer. That's right. These people got the guns legally through a background check from someone who got them from the police. But in California, even if it's a private sale, they call it, you know, the private sale gun show loophole. They don't have that loophole in California.
In California. They bought the guns, as Arnold would say, legally.
They bought the guns through the system. And then they're next door in a little duplex making bombs and jihad talk. And the neighbors are all freaked out and scared. And so they have Stockholm Syndrome. And so they don't tell anybody. But we're always talking about here. This is classic. Then we all lose our freedoms because of Saudi Arabian terrorists. They'll probably attack Iraq. Obama will probably blow Iraq up and said they did it again.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
We have footage, live feeds from CNN, MSNBC, where the mainstream corporate media, the Decepticon media, is being allowed into the reported killer's home. And, of course, they're digging through their websites. They're digging through their photos. They're creating just a media bonanza in here that will selectively be reported. Now, our reporters are in Detroit. They're out in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York yesterday. They drove to Detroit. They're going to be reporting from there today. Then they're going to be going to California to report on the American caliphate and then back to other states that we've not listed yet. They were in Islamabad, one of the most famous centers that no one's been able to get into, in upstate New York. So they're going to be until next week out there on the road. Joe Biggs is going to be joining us here in just a moment from Detroit with the crew. But the media, we're analyzing it right now live on air, is now basically showing how these people lived. Now, before we go any further, we also have drone footage we're going to be showing at Islamabad and getting the details, the background of it, and what Homeland Security had to say to our reporters as well, now that we're out of the state of New York. We have to report on what's happening in detail once we're out of that particular state and once we've moved away from these particular centers for obvious reasons. Now, they're also reporting now that he was arguing with Christians at work, evangelicals.
Christmas trees, Christians, it was their fault. See, they didn't submit to radical Islam, and so they had to pay. So we all have to tailor ourselves and our speech to Saudi Arabia's standards, where they execute you for preaching the gospel, where women are executed for having sex out of marriage, where homosexuals are executed. They're going to have 50 executions, what, this weekend, beheadings, people that write poetry about atheism are executed. The left is in a literal lip-lock worship fest because these are fellow totalitarians and they hate Christians as well. So it's a very, very sick group at the top that is in love with the bloodthirsty totalitarianism of radical Islam. But now we know something even more insane. When I say this has false flag on it, false flag that our government opened the border, our government brought these people in, our government vetted this Saudi Arabian woman 2 months ago, that he brought back his bride or his terror partner, whatever she was, and they knew where he was going, they knew who he was seeing, they knew what he was doing on Facebook. I mean, we had Homeland Security call up Joe Biggs's number and then Josh's number and then our other reporter's number 2 nights ago when they didn't have their numbers or even know what reporters I had in New York other than Joe Biggs. They went right into their database, what flights they were on, their phone numbers, where they were traveling, the GPS in the phone marks where you travel. It's just like GPS in your car. It was designed to do that. And then the police are like, the head of the counterterrorism task force, one of the heads that talked to us was like, well, I can't get into the technology, but yes, we know right where you are. Oh, really? I mean, when that guy was probably in high school, I was exposing what was going to happen. Not because I'm smart, but because I'm informed. I just love how these Homeland Security guys act like we don't know what's going on. We blew the Stingray systems open a decade ago. We proved it all 2 years ago with the secret documents out of Seattle. We've blown more of these illegal operations than anyone else. And by the way, I'm not overtly proud of that because it's dangerous. I don't like actually being the 8,000-pound gorilla smashing globalists all over the place. I mean, they know it, we know it, but I finally just realized, why not just let the audience know the real power of InfoWars? We are a slaughterhouse politically crushing tyranny, thanks to you and everything you do and your support and spreading the word. We just cut right through their garbage like a hot knife through butter. And I'm not enemies with the average Homeland Security person, but they are selected out of the state police and local departments because they buy into the Southern Poverty Law Center ADL line. Well, you got to decide. You want to go along with the establishment line, or do you want to see this country not be destroyed? Because we've been proven right. We know what we're talking about. We are the good guys. We're here to help. Okay, you got that? This country is on the razor's edge of fully collapsing. And now this, Washington Post, false flags, true believers and trolls, understanding conspiracy theories after tragedies. A lawyer for the family of one of the San Bernardino attackers invoked skepticism over another mass shooting and questioning police accounts in the mass shooting. There are a lot of questions drawn in regard to Sandy Hook and whether or not that was real incident or not, attorney David Chesley said in a video uploaded to British tabloid The Daily Mail. His comments were an apparent reference to conspiracy theories. The 2012 shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, in which 27 victims were killed, was staged to promote gun control agenda. Now, this is now being suggested about this. We'll be talking about it with Joe Biggs in a moment. But here's the difference. Sandy Hook, they didn't send emergency helicopters. They didn't send ambulances. They sent porta-potties first. They had PR. They launched an email internally through Bloomberg's anti-gun group, get ready tomorrow, we're about to make a big move. That came out. They had the students marching in circles like it was a drill in and out of the same building. There weren't shootouts on the streets. There weren't pipe bombs. There weren't hundreds of witnesses. There weren't real people with backgrounds. We saw weird stuff where somebody would be laughing, go, oh, the news is on, and then do the famous actor deal where you hyperventilate and start crying for the camera. We caught Anderson Cooper doing weird blue screens, green screens with his nose disappearing and the same loop tapes. I mean, I don't know what's fake about it. I don't know all the details because it's fake. We don't know exactly what happened. Did they really kill people? I don't know. All I know is it's as phony as a $3 bill. This isn't phony as a pure false flag because you've got jihadis. You've got a global call. You've got ISIS being real, invading multiple nations in Africa, in the Middle East. And InfoWars, again, is being demonized. Was San Bernardino shooting a false flag? And Joe Biggs asked the question, pointing out they had all these drills. But from the perspective of defining a false flag, if you open the door up and let a burglar know they can break in at a certain time, you're now involved with the burglar. So there's different types of false flags. You open the door, you let people in, just like Hebdo, just like Europe, just like all of these cases, and then you're aiding and abetting. That's what we're saying when we talk about false flag. And then you have the drills constantly, so these weak-minded, mentally ill people, every month for years having a drill there of a mass shooting, get it in their head. ABC News in 2001 had a death education special on 2020. I did reports on it at the time, admitting that just a few years after death education started nationwide after Columbine, Columbine was the pilot school for it in the late 90s. Suicides tripled in girls, doubled in boys, because they were teaching 11-year-old girls how to commit suicide by tying a shoestring around their neck and tying it to the coat hanger, the hat rack or the coat rack in the stalls. So little girls get depressed. Now they've been taught how to commit suicide. It explodes. You start hyping gun drills and active shooter drills and make it part of the culture, it becomes something people then begin to think you're supposed to do. You don't go home and commit suicide. You go get a bunch of guns and go shoot a bunch of people at a gun-free zone. In fact, WorldNet Daily did an article on it that they actually found from 1999, death education at Columbine High. Boom. Samuel Blumenfeld. Remember interviewing him about that. So, there you go. It tripled suicide in girls. And any advertisement agent will tell you that 80% of advertising is targeted at women because on average they believe they're, quote, more impressionable. That's not what I say. It's what the establishment says. And who are the Democrats targeting? And again, that's on average. It's not saying women aren't as smart as men. Women can be told, come to the collective, trust us, we love you. Let us teach your 10 and 11 and 12-year-old daughters how to put a shoestring around their neck and hang themselves so they don't do it. And then the suicides tripled. They used to have cases when they would have a particularly powerful play in England 300, 400 years ago of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, that routinely women would go home and drink poison or slit their wrist. Because it was so powerful, the love of Romeo and Juliet killing themselves to not be separated. Women would go and kill themselves. And that's what they teach the little girls, how sad it is. And they show them cases of other little girls that killed themselves and show them video reels. And the little girls, out of solidarity a lot of times, go in sad and want to join them and put the thing around there. And the government knew this full well. They knew full well. So, this is what they've now done. And now you're going to continue to see the mass shootings because this is our culture. This is what America does. This is our pastime. We don't have barbecues, you know, at the government centers. No, they have shoot 'em up drills. We're going to go to Joe Biggs here. We're going to keep him into the next hour some so he can continue to analyze what's happening. And then we're going to take calls in the second hour, cover a ton of news. Paul Watson joins us at the start of the third hour. Leanne hosts the fourth hour, Leanne McAdoo. We've got so much other news we're going to cover as well, the global government summits, the rest of it. Because while we're busy watching this, they're coming after our Second Amendment. And we'll play some clips of that in a moment. But first off, I need to really belabor this because it is the best deals of the year that we're offering right now. Free shipping ends the 18th. I'm extending it. It will end then. You still guaranteed get any of the items from InfoWarsStore.com if you order on or before the 18th inside the United States. We are ending this special today because supplies are so limited. I don't want to end up running out of it by the end of the year. So we're going to stop now so that we have enough of it until more comes in. But tonight at midnight, $9.95, silver bullet, 30% off X2 Nation Iodine. That all ends at midnight tonight. $9.95, 2 ounce, super high quality, 30 parts per million, the best colloidal silver we can get in the country, private label from the biggest laboratory in the United States, the most respected, who bottles for scores of other names, who sell it for $24, $30, you name it, discounted at $19. We have it at $9.95. $9.95 that inch tonight. Great way to stock up. Great gift to give friends and family as topical or obviously to ingest, but tell them to consult their healthcare provider. There's a lot of demonization of silver because we found it to be so effective. $9.95, X2, 30% off, a bunch of other specials. InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com. And there are several other specials that will end Monday that you can check out at InfoWarsStore.com as well. We then have the InfoWars Power Pack that has every type of conceivable charger you can imagine on it, every type of plug-in. The InfoWars Premium Power Pack will jump standard vehicles and has a big, powerful LED torch on it and other accessories. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a third the size of a small briefcase. I mean, it is the size of a small woman's purse, or a smaller purse, a small woman's purse. Teleprompter free here, folks. You cannot beat this. It's $119. The same unit, not private labeled, sells for $150, $160 on Amazon. Other competitors that aren't even as powerful are $140, $145. No one that we've seen can beat this deal. This is as low as it goes. But it doesn't matter. You're getting a high-quality unit. You're supporting the InfoWar. This will sell out by next week. We'll get more in by next year. Very popular item. I've got one in both my cars, my truck and my car. I've got one at home, one here at the office. I've got folks that work here at the office that are buying them because it's such a game changer. Again, it's so small. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. There's a bunch of other specials as well. Be sure and check those out today on water filtration, on non-GMO heirloom seeds, on Hillary for prison shirts. You've only got 14 days to order that. Maybe longer, but the point is we're not ordering anymore. When it might even sell out before the 18th, but this is a limited edition. I said I'd sell it through December. That's it. What we've got of Hillary for prison is it, and then it's over. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we'll cover Islamabad in New York, where Joe was, what Homeland Security had to say to him, what's happened since we talked to him yesterday when we come back from break. But I really cannot overstate how much the media is spinning and how much the mainstream media is deceiving when they're basically saying that InfoWars is saying the shootings didn't happen in San Bernardino. Day one, we said it happened. Day one, we said it was Islamic radical terror. We're on record up one side and down the other. But folks, this is weaponized media. Joe Biggs said, was San Bernardino shooting a false flag, pointing out that police guns got to them, they were being protected, no one stopped them, and the government let them come in and do this. That's a false flag. When you let somebody do something, when you help them to go after our guns, which Obama says he's doing. So they are twisting the meaning and then implying that without quoting us that we said it didn't happen. This is what they're going to do. They're going to say that we said the moon landings are fake. They're going to say that I believe in space aliens and giant wasp under the Capitol or under the UN. Remember, Rachel Maddow said that I literally believe giant wasp live under the UN building. I never said that. I never said anything about aliens. They know it's not true. Once I said the elites are crazy out of the CIA training center in San Francisco, and I've read in multiple books, including some of the stuff Timothy Leary wrote about, that the elites believe when they're hallucinating on DMT and stuff that they're contacting other dimensions. They made movies about it, Men Who Stare at Goats. I didn't write that book. I didn't say and do all that. I did have General Stubblebine on who ran the program. But see, so I report on stuff going on, and then they say I'm saying it. They also say I say I'm, you know, that I'm deeply racist or that I'm behind the Boston bombing. It's because we're so effective, folks. They've got to demonize us. Now, I'm going to skip this one network break so that we have more time to break this down. But Joe Biggs, this is what we see unfolding. And regardless of whether this is a classic false flag or they open the door and it's a partial false flag, it doesn't matter because they did open the door up, and this really shows desperation. I notice you have a giant mosque in, behind you where they have five times a day call to prayer. And you have the American flag flying at half mast there, I guess, for the folks that died. So that's nice. So Joe Biggs, tell us exactly what you've discovered in a few minutes. But first off, specifically, you and I are being demonized in the Washington Post and a bunch of other newspapers right now that we're saying no one died and it's a hoax without ever having us actually say that. This is desperate disinformation.
Joe Biggs here with Infowars.com. Now we're standing in front of the Islamic Center of America. This is the largest mosque in the United States. And let's get back to a point from the trip to Islamburg. The fact that you brought up earlier, the fact that this terrorism task force, everyone knew that I was going to be on this trip because it's out there. You said you were sending Joe Biggs, but no one knew the crew that was going to be there. So this shows you that the government can track down individuals, know their locations in remote areas, and the guy even knew the city we were in. So you mean to tell me that in San Bernardino, this couple has basically an IED-making facility inside their home, 11 pipe bombs, tons of ammunition and weapons, and they had no clue about it? That's where the false flag comes from. It's not saying that people didn't die. Obviously, people died. But the fact that they can track me and you to a location, a remote New York, and know that I'm going to Islamburg, but they're going to sit here and tell me that they're right down the road. They're already ready in gear. They've been conducting active shooter drills for the past few months at that same location, but they had no clue that this was going to happen, that this all sparked because of a dispute at a party. No one has a dispute at a party and then all of a sudden just goes, well, I think I got some pipe bombs at home and some ammunition. I'm going to go shoot these people.
Absolutely. And he did hate the Christians. He did hate the Christians, the Jews, and others that were there. That's now coming out. He did pick his targets, just like in Mali. They would, if you could cite the Quran 2 weeks ago, they wouldn't kill you. Same thing in the theater. Same thing in the theater. Same thing in all these places. So they are picking who they want to kill, but that's the final action. This is premeditated.
Yes, exactly. It's premeditated, which means we have a government that spies on people heavily. Obviously, they found Josh's number, found where he was in New York, so they can find that kind of information. So the fact that they're going to sit here and lie and go, well, we didn't know where this came from, is complete and total BS. You know, I don't understand how they can push that. People are going to sit there and go, you know what? I just think this randomly happened. No, it didn't randomly happen, and they knew it was going to happen. And then immediately following, I mean, within minutes, you have Hillary Clinton coming out and going, no, not in my country. We need to do something about gun control. And Obama's coming out and exploiting the situation just like he did in Oregon. We need to do something about this. We need stricter gun control. Well, California has some of the strictest gun control in the nation, and that didn't work out too well. Guess what? There's people out there who want to do bad things. There's people out there that have hate in their heart and want to do something. Now, if you look at the history of his wife, she was from Saudi Arabia. He flew there and went to this event, came back, met her online, went back to go get her, and got a fiance visa. The Hill is now reporting that they believe that she is the one who radicalized him and got him to essentially do this attack. And then earlier before the attack on her Facebook page, she pledged allegiance to ISIS. So this is out in one of the articles from The Hill. That's what's happening right now. That's the latest news. But for anyone to come out here and attack us because we're questioning what's going on, the fact that active shooter drills were being conducted in the days leading up to this, there was already a SWAT team on standby, which is why they acted so quickly.
Oh, I'm telling you, they'd been given tips, but because of political correctness didn't act, or...
Oh, yeah, the neighbors even said that they were scared to report their neighbors because they would be considered, you know, Islamophobic or racist or hateful in some kind of way. So that's how ridiculous it's turned out from. Someone reported Clock Boy, and now he's suing Irving, Texas for, what, $15 million? And now people here were too scared to report something that they thought was suspicious, like with the Clock Boy, and now 14 people are dead. So political correctness is killing people.
And then you go past that, Homeland Security, if they get word, most of the time does stand down, because even if it's outsider Islamists, not even from this country, they'll then turn it around and use it against the Second Amendment. In fact, let's go to the White House press secretary and hear what he had to say yesterday about the Second Amendment and the fact that Obama does intend to go after the guns. And as you just said, Hillary has also said she's going after the guns. They're going to bring more refugees in, more jihadis in, and then they're going to take our guns when they kill us. Here it is.
President Obama yesterday jumped to say that this mass shooting means it's time for common sense gun laws. Does the president really think that common sense gun laws would deter terrorists now that he has admitted these two may have been terrorists?
Yes. The president believes that passing common sense gun laws that makes it harder for people with bad intentions to get guns makes the country safer.
But so the president thinks that when there are potentially two terrorists sitting around planning a mass murder, they may call it off because President Obama has put in place common sense gun laws.
Well, Peter, we're still learning of the precise motives of the individuals who carried out this heinous act of violence yesterday. One thing we do know is that the four firearms they were wielding were legally purchased under the laws that are in place now. That's a fact. So that might lead some to conclude that we should have made it a little bit harder for them. Would that have changed the entire
outcome? Okay, let's stop right there. I have CBS News admitting that they got these guns 4 years ago from a friend, but because of California law, did the background check, went through the system. You're going to have people that don't have a felony who are going to end up being crazy terrorists. They're going to be able to go out and get guns, or they're going to go rob somebody's house for guns, or they're going to steal them out of a cop car. They're going to get guns, just like in France. They're going to come after us. We deserve to have guns to protect ourselves, as the head of Interpol has said, as Sheriff Arpaio has said, as the Detroit police chief has said. This is common sense. How dare them bring these people in, protect them, know what they're doing, let them attack us, and then blame the Second Amendment, and how dare the media, now, 2 days into this, still be trying to spin it wasn't terrorists, even after they admit the attackers pledged allegiance to ISIS, officials say. Unbelievable, Joe Biggs.
Yeah, it's completely and totally ridiculous, but, you know, many props to, like you said, some of the different people calling for people to arm themselves, like the chief of police in Detroit. There was another guy in New York. I can't remember the name of the town. It starts with a U. I posted his sheriff's department post on my page on Facebook. Maybe someone can find it and pull it up. But he said, hey, I want to call on every single person out there that has a concealed carry permit to arm yourself. Go out, go to the range, shoot, be proficient in this weapon and know how to use it, know the laws, and do it the proper way. He says, because more people we have that are armed, the less this stuff's going
to
happen.
That's right. And Joe Biggs, make no mistake, they're coming for our guns. I've talked to insiders in D.C. I've talked to the top experts. They say the word is they're coming next year for the free speech, for the guns, with our medical freedom, with forced inoculations. They're going to start huge fines for Obamacare. It's all coming 2016. Folks, get ready. They are coming. Time is running out, to quote Matt Drudge. I want to come back to you, Joe, and talk about Islamberg. I keep calling it Islamoberg. It's a joke. Islamberg and this famous facility that you were able to go up, talk to them, Homeland Security and more. Now what you've seen after you've gotten to Detroit, I'm very pleased. I'm going to show the screenshot again of the mosque if we can, or a live video feed. If you're a radio listener, we also simulcast television with reporters all over the world. We're going to have reporters next week from the New American with video feeds in Paris for the key parts of the World Government Summit. Here we are at the big Islamic Center of America in Michigan, outside Detroit, biggest mosque in the United States. They have their Islamic flag at half mast. And the stars and stripes should have masks. Most big mosques come out and don't condemn these attacks. I'm glad that they've condemned the attacks, and I'm glad that they have the flags at half mast. So that's a good thing, because we need good people in Islam to decry these jihads, because these jihads are going to be used to set you up as well for a clash of civilizations. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, there's a storm loose. Sirens in my head. Wrapped up in silence.
Former Army Staff Sergeant Combat Vet Joe Biggs and our crew is on the first leg of a trip around the country to different famous growing Islamic sites. Some radical, some not. Some military training camps, others not. They're filing powerful reports every day for InfoWars Nightly News and at InfoWars.com. Also want to take phone calls from first-time callers throughout this hour at 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231 on any of the subjects, any of the news, any of the things that are happening. But, Joe, tell us what you've seen since you got to the Detroit, the Dearborn area, some of the things you're planning. And then obviously today or tomorrow, probably today, we need to go ahead as part of your investigation of the American Caliphate, get you on out to California just to show how they're trying to spin this and to investigate. Then you can go back on your leg or come back to Austin. Then in next week, go back on the road. But I want to investigate the West Coast, the East Coast. There's been some famous Islamic training centers on the West Coast as well. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, there's one that I was reading about too in Oregon. There was a farm, a piece of farmland or something like that. I believe I have the article in the truck where a lady said that it had completely been taken over by Muslims in that area. So that's definitely one of the places I'd like to check out. But yeah, there's places all over. And since I've been on this trip, we're getting emails. People are sending us information about places they know of. They're willing to take the time out of their day to go and show us how to get there. So that's really encouraging. It's great to see. But so right now we're in Dearborn. Now, Dearborn is, I believe, southeast of Detroit. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah. And then Hamtramck is where we're at earlier. Now, Hamtramck is completely been turned into a, it looks like a street that I saw in Iraq. Every store is pretty much in Arabic. You have everyone walking up and down the streets, mostly in that traditional Arabic garb. I even went into a store and purchased something. The people in there were, they seemed pretty nice. They didn't have any problems with me coming in there. We went and filmed it. You know, I plan on going into this mosque as well, but definitely the rumors are true about these two areas. Large population of Muslims. As you can see, this whole place is packed out with people in there right now praying.
But the good news is it wasn't like Paris or it wasn't like Brussels, Belgium, where you were just told anywhere, get out of here. You're a European. You're not Muslim.
Well, yeah, that was definitely towards nighttime, too. So it depends. I'm sure people's moods change once there's not as many eyes or not as many eyes on. But we're going to go back out to Hamtramck. There is a prayer center out there where they do the call to prayer five times a day. They have the big loudspeaker. I read about it in the Telegraph article that you guys sent me before we came on this trip. So we're going to go over there as well and look around and see if we can talk to some people. We'll try to talk to somebody in here and ask them how they feel about what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, get that part of the mission down. And then whether it's today or tomorrow, get out to California. And then obviously don't say we're going to go after that. Some of the other places, but you just decide where you want to go next. But I mean, don't you think, Joe, we need to go out to California?
Oh yeah, obviously. I mean, I think that's a great idea, especially with what's going on, the way they're trying to spin it on us, saying that we're saying it didn't happen. We definitely have to bring up the points and show people why people can question something like this. You know, I'm not one to jump on the false flag bandwagon. You can ask anybody, you know, in the office. I'm very skeptical of a lot of that stuff, but this one has it written all over it. Now, that doesn't mean that people didn't die. Obviously, people were killed in this situation. But the
fact you got pretty upset when folks said that the Paris thing didn't happen and the Hebdo thing didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that set me off in the Oregon shooting. That one really made me furious, you know, because I was out there. Or the shooting in Roanoke, Virginia, where they said that the two reporters weren't killed. I mean, I sat there and saw the blood-soaked boards being changed out and all that stuff. I mean, stuff happens. The false flag end of this part, what I'm saying, what happened in San Bernardino, though, is the fact that we know our government can track us, follow us, and they didn't stop this from happening. That is why, Mike, I'm concerned, and,
the guns,
and I want to find out.
Absolutely. And the neighbors knew. I mean, this is ridiculous. And they had pledged allegiance to ISIS. Stay there. Let's recap all that when we come back, about five more minutes with Joe Biggs and with the other reporters, if Josh wants to give us his take on things, or Zimmerman. And then we'll go to Dimitri, Robert, Courtney, and many others that are patiently holding. I'm Alex Jones.
Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
To see the totalitarian left allied with radical Islam is truly disgusting. But it's worse than that. The Republican leadership continues to allow hundreds of thousands of radicals to come into the United States every year. And believe me, the folks coming out of Syria and other countries are extremely radical. And they are not compatible with Western civilization. They fight with each other and kill each other constantly over tiny disagreements on religion. This is truly barbarous, dark age type idiocy. At the same time, the left is trying to ban Christmas. Here's the story up on Infowars.com. Universities across the country deemed Secret Santa mistletoe colors red, green to be politically incorrect. It's also sexual harassment to have mistletoe. So see, they all mix it together. New guidelines demand holiday celebrations are not a Christmas party in disguise. We have to talk about don't disguise your Christmas party or we'll ban it. You've seen the rioting, the freaking out, the you've got to ban Halloween. I might see the costume. I don't like. Don't do it. No, please. Ah. I mean, look at the photo, if you're a TV viewer, of a man and woman kissing each other with mistletoe, and then go to the front page of Infowars.com and look at the head of ISIS that this family, this husband and wife, pledged allegiance to. And just look at the difference. That's how we want to be in the West, happy, having a nice Christmas. And then we got these other people running around killing each other and killing Muslims that don't want to be radicals and killing every Christian they get their hands on. And I'm just sick of it. And I just want to say the left are a sickening group of totalitarian filth. That's all I can say. And I've had enough. In fact, scroll up a little bit on InfoWars because it says it all, those images. Look at radical Islam, then look at Christianity. You can say, well, Christianity isn't people red and wearing red and white hats and a Christmas tree. It doesn't matter. It's part of the Christian culture mixed with European culture, and it is about Christ, and the system wants to get rid of it because it's pretty and it's happy, and it's about Ebenezer Scrooge giving his money to the poor, and it's about real liberalism, and they don't like it because they're totalitarian scum. There it is, the Boston Post, Christmas banned in Boston. And even back 300 years ago, some of the Christian churches tried to ban it, saying it was sacrilege and wasn't properly being engaged in. Because folks like to go out and dance and sing and have a little bit of fun. And I'm against radical Christianity trying to control people. Because we don't have state-run religion in this country. The separation of church and state means the government has no jurisdiction in religion. Now, if someone in a religion breaks the law, then that's a different subject altogether. But as long as you don't do that, there is no jurisdiction. Well, planning suicide vests and pipe bombs and planning to go kill everybody at work for the jihad you pledged allegiance to under ISIS orders to commit jihad is a premeditated plan to commit mass murder and is illegal. But they admit under political correctness couldn't do it. And now, attacker pledged allegiance to ISIS, officials say. That is the Associated Press. That is CNN as well. But that's hardly even in the news. They're still on a lot of channels because we've got all of them on around here. All the big ones. Each room has a different CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, ABC, Fox. They're still acting like it could be workplace violence. I guess World War II was workplace violence, or 9/11 was workplace violence, or I guess the theater attack 3 weeks ago was workplace violence. No, this is the beginning of another attack and of more attacks, just like they said the Fort Hood killing 14 people under al-Qaeda command, saying he did it for al-Qaeda and for the Taliban. Major Hassan, not a terror attack. Attacks on recruiting centers, not attacks. Attack in Garland, not an attack. All these attacks, not attacks. Can you imagine if Christians were running around doing something like this? You'd never hear the end of it. So now that they have been proven liars that this was a terror attack and they tried to cover it up the first day and a half, now they're shifting gears saying, we say it didn't happen. So get this through your head, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, and I know you'll lie and won't tell the truth. It's for your viewers that'll come find us later and for others to know the truth. We never said that. We never said the moon landings didn't happen. I never said there were giant wasps living under the UN building and that space aliens live under the UN. I don't cover space aliens. And by the way, folks, can you guys find Rachel Maddow? Says Alex Jones believes in giant wasp under the she actually said that. So see, this is what they're doing. They're so desperate, they go on the news and they go, Donald Trump says he hates Mexicans. Never said it. Donald Trump says he wants 5 million to go on the CNN debate. It's going to be the highest rating because it's the last one. He said, I want you to give $5 million to Wounded Warrior or I won't do it. Tongue in cheek to point out they're not giving money to veterans. And what they do in hundreds of publications, they lied about him by saying he wanted money for himself. This is the nature of their deception. And why do you think Donald Trump came on this show? And why my respect went up for him from about 60, 70, 80% growing the last few months to like 95%? Because he did it to signal that the mainstream media is dead. He did it to signal that he's not a coward, just like Matt Drudge did. He did it to signal he's aware of how much trouble we're in. To everybody. He knows they're going to go on there and misrepresent what I stand for and what he stands for. It was in over 2,000 newspapers 2 days ago, over 400 yesterday, and several hundred today. You can just type in Donald Trump, Alex Jones, click Google News, see what day they are. They bunch them in different groups. 1,600 here, 400 there, 500 here, 200 here, 80-something here. That's how desperate they are. That's how pathetic they are. That's how dying they are politically, that they have to engage in all-out lies. I expect them to claim I'm a child molester next or a rapist. I mean, that's really all they haven't done. Well, no, wait a minute. Bill O'Reilly did say we've got to stop sex offenders online and stalking of women, and then cut to a clip of me yelling and screaming about a police brutality case that had nothing to do with women and just said we've got to stop the perverts. I didn't settle a case with a woman over pervert stuff like you, Bill O'Reilly, you piece of trash. I mean, I don't want to get into bashing people, but that's a low blow, folks. There's never been an allegation, never a claim, never a nothing of me doing something sexual online to women. You, sir, are a fraud. And in the old days, I'd call you out in the street. And I'm sure you're a tough guy. Your dad was a big, tough New York Irish cop. Doesn't matter. I'm in the right. And I will kick your ass, Bill O'Reilly, for claiming stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying I'll do something to him where he goes and calls the police on me. He does that. If he doesn't agree with a caller, he calls the police on him and, you know, has his security go after him. It just makes me so mad that I'm sitting there going, next they'll say I'm a sex abuser. And then I go, oh, wait a minute, they already did that. I mean, the point is, folks, they're going to try to destroy me because I tell the truth. Just be ready for that. Going back to Joe Biggs, to the bottom of the hour, that I promise I'm going to Dimitri, Jeff, Courtney, Bill, Randy, and others, boom, 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 bottom of the hour. Joe Biggs, getting specifically, though, and them trying to assassinate our character, it's not about us. We're not gonzo journalism where we're the story. But we just lost this feed while I've been talking. We're trying to get it back. It's that they've put us in the story. They lie about us. They misrepresent. They twist. And this is what they do. So we went to this one of these more famous centers, Islamberg, and actually put a drone over it to document, or flew a drone along the property line to try to document exactly what's going on there. And as soon as we get Joe Biggs back, we'll cover it. Just please, we need your prayers. We need your support. We need you to realize we're having an effect. That's why we're under enemy attack. When you're over the target, folks, that's when you get the flak. You zero in on that. We've got Discovery Channel level quality cameras now that just got amazing footage in the drone and on the ground. Beautiful area of upstate New York. My God, no wonder the European settlers wanted to live there and others. Just gorgeous. Talk about Last of the Mohicans. I mean, this is it. And InfoWars reporters have now been quizzed by a terrorist task force about what they were planning to do. Well, I mean, that's not the story. The story is Homeland Security tracks reporters, not jihadists, not the people that attacked. And I mean, when you're talking to the high-level anti-terrorism task force people going, well, we don't really think you're planning anything violent, were you? It's just like, come on. So Joe Biggs is back. Joe, we're going to break in a moment, but tell us about Islamberg and what you discovered there as we show some of this drone footage.
Well, I was going to say this too, though. I wrote this little thing down. It says, if it's ISIS, then it's climate change. Islamic jihadists, then it's workplace violence. Terrorism, then it's Christians. You know, when this attack in San Bernardino first happened, people jumped out and said it was three white men who did this. Reverend Horton Heat just texted me, sending me a screenshot of that article where they said three white men. And then you have liberals all across the country jumping out immediately saying, stop white violence, stop white violence. You know, we get attacked for no reason without any facts. But
and we lost Joe again. Whatever's going on, he has a really good connection, but it just keeps dropping. That's why I've been talking for 15 minutes and he's been on hold there. We're going to come back and see if we can get a reconnected with him and finish up, and then they'll get back on the road. But I want to take you out to break with some of the video. If you're a TV viewer, I'll describe this for listeners, just the amazing HD footage over Islamberg. I want to tell you about this place, some of the other places around the country that obviously now know that they're on our list to be visited. And so for Homeland Security and for the Islamic centers and the training facilities, whatever these are, the places with shooting ranges and the rest of it, you know who we are. We're just here to document and research what's going on and draw attention to what's happening in this country and to show that a lot of these groups are not assimilating into the United States at all and intend for us to assimilate into them. And the leftists have made an alliance with these people to basically bully us into full submission, and we, the true liberals, will stand up against the fascists.
It's an internet talk show called InfoWars. Yes, this is the same guy who has been selling the idea that the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School and the massacre at Aurora, Colorado were actually fake. They were faked as an excuse to take away our guns and enslave us to the giant wasps who hive beneath the UN building or whatever. It's the same guy who says the Boston bombing was also fake. It was faked for political purposes. The same guy who says he doesn't believe the Columbia space shuttle disaster actually happened. He doesn't believe there was actually an Oklahoma City bombing. Naturally, of course, he also knows and sells the idea that 9/11 was an inside job.
All right, let's stop right there. That is all either total lies or twisted. I said Oklahoma City happened, but criminal elements of the government were involved. That's been in the LA Times. That's been in the New York Times. That's been in lawsuits. I did not say the Columbia disaster did not happen. I said the San Francisco Chronicle reported that they saw lasers hit it, and then the FBI seized footage out of a telescope at a university showing that it was basically shot by a laser from the ground. I just read a newspaper article, and then they said that I said that didn't happen. I didn't say there's wasps under the buildings, any of that. So this is what they do, folks. They're getting desperate. Now, Joe, you're out in front of the Islamic Center. For some reason, the Skype's breaking down. I want you to get back out there and start reporting. You're doing a great job. Other key points that need to be made. And then Islamberg, I want to talk about that some, and we'll play some of the footage in the background while you discuss what happened in New York.
Yeah, well, Islamberg is a very an interesting place. You know, a lot of secrecy surrounds that individual location. And like we said before, that was a location that was started and founded in 1982 by Mubarak Ali Jalani out of Pakistan. Now, he's the guy who is also the head of the Al-Fukra terrorism organization. Now, the funny thing is the White House denies any kind of terrorist links, but the State Department says that there is terrorism links to Al-Fukra. They were involved in a couple bombings and assassination attempts across the world. Now, their front in America is Muslims of America. That's something that Mubarak Ali Jalani also started as well. And that is where Islamberg comes in. That whole place is run by Muslims of America. And then there's another location in York, South Carolina called the Holy Islamville, which is also started by that guy. And, you know, there's two sides of the story when you go out here and when you look at this. You've got a lot of locals that have been emailing us saying that they're scared to go into Hancock. They're scared to shop because of the crazy jihadists that are there. And then you've got people like the sheriff or the chief of police and Deposit, New York, which is just at the bottom of the mountain, who thinks that overall, from the outside looking in, they seem to be peaceful people, but they do dress very militant. He says he's seen them weapons. He's heard the shots fired and explosions, things like that. They do everything internally. They are governed by Sharia law. They have their own newspaper that they put out. The fact they've only let a few people in there to actually report mostly have been Arab TV stations. Reuters, I believe, was let in there once a while back. But the secrecy surrounding it, the fact that we have this wide open border situation, the fact that Obama purposely wants to bring in these radical jihadis, put them in place, it's not that hard to believe that a place like that in New York and Hancock would be picked by someone like that to go and stay at and live in.
Absolutely. And the media won't report on it. The elephant in the room is we're seeing serious jihad attacks. This is like the fifth in a year in the United States, and the media is trying to cover it up. They're not going to be able to cover it up, making stuff up about giant wasp.
Yeah, mass shootings are happening at an alarming rate. So it's definitely something that's getting out of control. So that's the whole thing. I don't know why people are concerned about us going and trying to look into this stuff. Like I said, that's a spot that if I were someone coming over to America, I wanted to be left alone to be able to play on something. That's the kind of place I would pick. All I'm doing is putting myself in their shoes and thinking, where would I go so I wouldn't be bothered, so I'd be able to plan what I want to do and carry that out. They pick places like that. So that's all we're doing is we're going in, we're investigating, we're showing the people that it's a very secretive place. It's hard to get in there. They want to vet everyone that comes through. And then the fact that we go there and Josh and I are called by the terrorism task force out of the New York State Police is just beyond me.
And they know everything about you and admit they're at a threat fusion center with Homeland Security tracking
you. But they don't know where the ISIS jihadis are, though. They don't know where they are, but they know where everyday Americans are, patriots are. They know where we are. They're keeping an eye on us, Alex.
That's right. Joe, I'm going to let you get back to filing your powerful reports. Now you guys are going to go to California next, then back to the East Coast, and back to the center of the nation. We're not going to say, obviously, the itinerary. Be safe. We're praying for you. But we're glad to see they've got their flags at half-mast there at the Islamic Center in Dearborn. Hopefully, they'll decry these terror attacks. A lot of Muslim organizations won't. So I know you're going to go there next, then show the call to prayer. Great job, Joe Biggs and crew, Josh Owens and Michael Zimmerman. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Your calls are 3 minutes away.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You keep saying you got something for me.
Something you call love.
Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best.
These boots are made for walking.
These boots are made for walking.
That's just what they'll do.
And that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
There are a lot of different establishment groups who think they're invincible. And there have been a lot of other groups before them that thought they were invincible. And the one constant in history is that tyrants and oligarchies fall.
When you ought to be true then.
And they've used a lot of high-tech systems to try to scramble people's brains and confuse folks. And a lot of just outright lies. But it doesn't really work as good as it used to. Yeah, you may get 30, 40, 50% of people on a good day that don't know their head from a hole in the ground, but what are you going to do about the rest of us that are quickly getting more informed and more involved? All right, I'm going directly to your calls. Debbie, Courtney, Robert, Dimitri, Randy, everybody. Let me see who's been holding the longest here. That would be Randy and Courtney and then Robert and Dimitri and Debbie. We're going to go to all of you here in just a moment. A lot of folks listening and watching on Roku and on Boxy and on other cable and smart TV systems, I don't even recognize. I tell you, the fastest growing area of our viewer and listenership is people's TVs, which are just computers now. And the show is exploding. And I don't say that to brag, but in the media landscape, it's more competitive than ever. We're just getting bigger exponentially. Had the founder of the Weather Channel on yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I was watching your show yesterday. And then we talked to him off air, and he's a listener for a long time. And there's not many people we run into that aren't listeners. Even our enemies know who we are now. Just the average person on the street, at least has some notion of what InfoWars is. And then they actually find the show and find out it's not what they thought it was. And then they ask, why do they have CNN and MSNBC saying stuff like he hates black people and believes giant wasps live under the UN building? None of it's true. Just they can't show me saying it. And then people ask, why are they doing that? Well, let's just say they're vampires, folks, and I've got a big old bag of steaks, wooden oak steaks on my back, and I got a big hammer. And I know who these people are, and I know how to beat them. And that's just straight up going, I'm not arguing with you, you collaborator scum, and all your fancy talking trash. I know a stinking enemy when I see one that's here to usurp me and my family, bankrupt my country to make me capitulate to your terms. And here's all your documents where you admit it. You people are a bunch of arrogant crooks, and your time's coming. Because every millisecond, more people are waking up to your fraud. And out of the giant nebula of patriots and leaders and lovers of life and lovers of truth across this world, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, agnostic, it doesn't matter, scientific, non-scientific, school teachers, police officers, auto mechanics, farmers, ranchers, you name it. People are waking up to the truth, and they're learning how the scam works, and they want to be free. And once they figure out how the scams work, no amount of fancy, sophisticated bull, trillion-dollar baloney isn't going to be sold anymore once folks realize it's horse manure. And your credibility, every poll, every metric, every indicator, every gauge, every bellwether, every sign shows you are falling. But out of this nebula, this Milky Way of liberty lovers, stars, resisting tyranny, bringing light to the universe, InfoWars, I have to say, is one of the brightest. And that is a very humbling experience to look out into that universe of lovers of truth and people that want humanity to succeed and people that care about their fellow man and woman, and to see InfoWars right up there in lights, right up there at the top of the marquee by the other great lovers of freedom, is a humbling experience. And just know this, you are the people that bring light to the InfoWar, and I salute you. And it's your support that makes it all possible. We've got free shipping till December 18th on everything at InfoWarsStore.com, and we have giant discounts and giant specials running throughout the next week and a half. The two big ones that end today at midnight, $9.95 Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, unprecedented. We've never had that. 30% off X2 Nation Iodine ends tonight. 20% off InfoWars Select, super high-quality storable food, and free shipping. That is going to end on Monday. Free ebook when you sign up at InfoWars.com /newsletter. Keys of Survival by Gerald Celente, Mikhail Thalen, and, of course, folks like Joel Skousen, up to date, just written. We've got the InfoWars Premium Power Pack, massively discounted, InfoWarsStore.com. I'm done ranting. I now apologize. I'm going to go to 10 calls or so, and then I'm going to get into the war on Christmas that's intensifying and why it's so important. And then scientists and activists call for ban on human gene editing. Really important article. Another one. Huge news. Monsanto going on trial for crimes against humanity. A video of Trump with black preachers. It's pretty powerful. I want to air some of. Obamacare increasing health prices, trillions of dollars. If you think your premiums went up, get ready. I shouldn't laugh. It's just LA Times says the gang raping is going to be hardcore because it's free. It's going to make your health care free, and you can keep your doctor. And 2 + 2 = 5. I mean, and you go, that's crazy. It's meant to be crazy. It's meant to, again, scramble reality where you don't know which side is up and which is down. So that's all coming up as well. But it is confirmed the San Bernardino shooters, jihadis training allegiance to ISIS, went to Saudi Arabia, got his bride in Saudi Arabia, handed off their daughter, and then went on a jihad. Went on a jihad at the government building where they had anti-shooter, active shooter drills every month for 4 years, obviously reinforcing and brainwashing the fear and the and learning to go into prostrate position and learning to put your hands up so when the killer actually comes, you won't resist. The training that teaches you how to die. This is how you convert a nation of great leaders and of warriors and of scientists and of trailblazers to a nation of ninnying cowards begging to have a jihadi barrel shoved in their mouth to have their brains blown all over the wall. I'm sorry for all the dead souls, but my God, this defenselessness culture, these victim disarmament zones are just begging for wolves to come in and tear your collective intestines out and run around celebrating with the blood spraying as wolves often do. Dimitri in Ohio, you're on the air worldwide listening on the free iPhone app. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, brother.
All right. I just wanted to touch on a couple points. First of I think that when we use or radical Islam or moderate Islam, we're kind of playing part of the game that the leftists want us to play. First of all, the Quran, which is most people don't have never read the Quran. They don't even know what this whole religion is about. You know, I mean, most of the Muslim, 90-plus percent of the Muslims have never read the Quran, and they don't even know what religion they're in.
No, I've seen the videos where straight preachers read out of the Quran to Muslims, and they can't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. And Paul Watson, one of your reporters, he has it down the closest out of, you know, all of you guys. I mean, I love you and all this, everything you're doing.
Well, that's because he's in London, and it's basically turned into Islamabad.
Yeah. So I would suggest to get an expert, a caller on this religion or on this topic, like Osama Duck Duck. He's the best guy I know that is the most knowledgeable in this. His website is thestraightway.org.
All right, I will look into that, brother, and I appreciate your call. Here's the deal. Islam had a period of about 400 years where it was not warlike, where they saved ancient text when they were promoting peace, and actually the West was more warlike and barbarous. It is true that radical Islam is taking over Islam right now, and I get that people don't want to criticize Islam in general, so they call it radical Islam, but there really is radical Islam trying to take over other Islamic groups that are peaceful, and they really are persecuting. So I personally know that there's a lot of stuff I could agree with in the Quran. I've actually read the Quran. It's not that long. I've read it front to back when I was in college. I've scanned over it since then, and it basically has a whole bunch of different views, and it's like Muhammad writing about a bunch of different groups and tribes and organizations, and he says one thing in one chapter, another in another, and you have to look at it and say, well, that's in the particular situation. It's kind of situational ethics, kind of like the Bible has some of that too. I'm not here to have a war with Islam. The globalists want to create a clash of civilizations. This is why they're bringing in radicals. It's why they're bringing in hardcore Sunnis that lost the takeover of Syria so far, knowing they'll blow stuff up and kill people, and then they're going to say, they're not Islamists. Turn your guns in. I mean, this is how dumb they think we are. They're going to let them in, let them attack, and then take our guns so we can't defend ourselves. But I hear you. If Saudi Arabia and others in their attempted takeover of all forms of Islam are successful, all of Islam will be radical, will be dangerous, and will want to chop your head off and take your daughter to basically a slave pit. And that's true. And our government is allied with radical Islam, and then it attacks elements of Islam that are not attacking us. It is very sick. But the dominant Islam is Saudi Arabian, Sunni, Wahhabist craziness. So a lot of it's just intimidation in the government, too. They're bowing to it. They're taking the money. They are, you know, there's not just the weapons lobby and the military-industrial complex and big pharma and the Jewish lobby in Hollywood and all the rest of it and Wall Street. There is a major Islamicist lobby that spends hundreds of billions of dollars a year lobbying. I've talked a long time about Saudi Arabia buying up Hollywood and Saudi Arabia, you know, moving in and muscling in on government. China doing it as well. People are like, oh, yeah, China runs Hollywood and the Arabs run Hollywood, Alex. Oh, what I said was is they were beginning to move in on it. And now you see that. There's not just one pig at the trough here of special interest. Are there leftist Israeli lobbies that try to get our guns and try to ban free speech, try to federalize our police? You bet. Am I against the ADL? Absolutely. They've lost lawsuits lying about people. They've said things about me that aren't true. I mean, I've been to an ADL meeting when they're trying to get guns banned at a big Jewish center in North Austin once. They threw me out, and you'd have thought the devil had come in there. But I don't project that onto all groups. I don't project it onto Jews. There are some bad mafia organizations basically running many Jewish organizations in society. I don't blame all the Muslims that they're run by hardcore death cults. I'm just trying to put out the facts here and give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, the white supremacist groups are completely globalist run and fed run. I mean, it's just, we're a mess, folks. We're a mess. Let's talk to Courtney in Louisiana. You're on the air. Thanks for holding. You're watching on Roku.
Hi, Alex. I just wanted to say that it's an honor to speak to you. I actually have a nickname for you. I call you the fearless leader of the resistance. And and I just wanted to say that I have a way that we can prove how idiotic the lamestream media is by wanting to blame a Christmas tree for that terrorist attack in San Bernardino. What we need to do is take pictures of our Christmas trees, of our decorations, of all the stuff that reminds you of Christmas. And we need to put a hashtag of don't cancel Christmas and hashtag Merry Christmas ISIS. And watch, not a one terrorist attack is going to happen. And we're going to be able to prove once and for all that the lamestream media is just that lame and inept. And they are.
No, I hear you. Zuckerberg will try to censor that at Facebook, but we should come up with some memes like, you know, don't let radical Islam ban Christmas and then just send out images of the cross, Christmas tree with it, whatever upsets folks and says, you know, sorry if this triggers feminist and ISIS. You know, sorry, feminist and ISIS, because they're all complaining together. Paul Watson's coming up to tell that. And there's an alliance. We need to point this out between the hardcore totalitarian left and the totalitarian Islamists. Great point, Courtney. We will, starting today, send in your memes to showtips at Infowars.com. Include Infowars.com in there somewhere, please. And then we will post those to Facebook and post those to Twitter. In fact, I'm announcing a $1,000 winner. I'm going to have Rob Jacobson run this contest. We'll announce it Sunday at 5 o'clock, second hour of the Sunday radio show, $1,000 to the best person with the viral Christmas meme. Send them to showtips at Infowars.com or contest at Infowars.com. But we'll be posting them today throughout the weekend. And then on Sunday, we will pick. In fact, I'm going to let myself and Rob Jacobson, because the rest of the crew is so busy, we'll look at them, we'll judge them. Sunday, we'll have Rob on the show. If he's going to be here in town, I think he is. And we'll have a quick turnaround. We have another $5,000 prize coming up in January on the Make Fun of Hillary contest. We have new videos today that came out up on Infowars.com because she wants to shut down comedy clubs that make fun of her. We have to counter these bullies by responding to them. But a $1,000 prize to basically put a meme out that exposes the fact that we won't capitulate and run up a white flag to ISIS and get rid of our crosses, our Christmas trees, our nativity scenes, and let the atheist and let the jihadis and let the feminists know that they can go to Hades if they want to destroy our free, open republic. You know, sorry you're offended. Learn to be tolerant like liberals claim they are, you fascist bootlickers. Let's now go ahead and go to Debbie. Debbie is viewing us on Roku as well in New Jersey. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'm going to be entering your contest, my husband and I, the Hillary contest.
Thank you.
We're working on our video now. I just wanted to also thank you for the best Christmas gift you could have given us in years when you had Trump and Ted Nugent on. It was so enlightening. We really appreciate it.
Well, you bring tears to my eyes, too, because this country is in so much trouble, and we're just here being as aggressive as we can in the globalist face to their criminal activity. And so I understand it's emotional, and that's normal. I mean, we're going under sickening tyranny. We're being conquered by evil right now, and so we all should have tears in our eyes.
Yeah, definitely. And we're also giving the gift of health to our family, which will include all your products.
Thank you.
And I wanted you to know, too, that we hand out your pocket constitutions and stickers to everybody everywhere we go. We travel with them and your cards. And I also have been calling into the local radio station here, 101.5, and have been called conspiracy theorist on many occasions when I brought up the inverted reality points, the Cloward and Piven points.
I don't want you to get cut off because you've been censored by others. Yes. There is a move, and I've confirmed it across AM/FM stations across the country, even so-called conservative ones. The big banks are removing financing. Corporations aren't advertising with them. There's an ordered campaign to bring down talk radio where the most popular conservative hosts at stations are being fired or removed, including right here in Austin, Texas, to shut us up. Sending out an SOS. Message in a bottle. That's what you do when you send out a meme, call and talk radio, you name it. And so I just announced a $1,000 contest. I'll announce at the start of the second hour on Sunday, the 4 to 6 p.m. show, the winner. But everybody wins. We're going to take the good ones, put them out on Facebook, Twitter. Millions of people could potentially see the meme, but send it to showtips@infowars.com or contest@infowars.com. Send your Hillary Clinton contest videos in as well. We post them to the site. And everybody's a winner who takes action. But I don't like to throw hissy fits. I don't like to complain. Stations are owned by who stations are owned. But to a great extent, Clear Channel's been taken over by some big leftist money. I'm not on Clear Channel, but that still affects talk radio. A lot of the big regional stations and networks have been sold. They've got sponsor coalitions that very quietly offer big amounts of money, from hospital coalitions that are for Obamacare to you name it. That's happened here in Austin. And they will come in, and I mean spend millions of dollars in a year. Millions per station, if it's a big one, to change the format. And I know you've been noticing last year, suddenly staple conservatives on the morning and the afternoon on your stations have been going away. Haven't they? Haven't they? I've confirmed from high-level people and at the low level and the mid-level, at every level in the last year, really longer. You notice we were taking off XM, been on it 6 years. There were good people at Clear Channel that just wanted to have ratings and be successful. They had me on a libertarian channel. It was hugely successful. They got a lot of subscribers. Well, it then came in big globalist companies, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but it's been in the news, and they took over and kicked off hundreds of conservative shows. It didn't just stop there. Now, all that people do is they get the free iPhone app, they go listen on the internet, they watch on their TV. Now they're moving to want to block that and not let that be on Roku or Boxy or Apple TV. Apple, you know, came to us repeatedly, one arm of it, and said, hey, put all your films on. Then they would just refuse them and not say why once we'd pay the thousands of dollars to have them converted to their format. Google wouldn't let us sell the Obama deception on their shopping cart 6 years ago. Remember that? Said it was racist. They can't beat us in the theater of ideas. And so they're doing it by just trying to get us off the mediums. But it's not just InfoWars. That's why you better spread the word about InfoWars or any other Patriot-type show, because there is a move to shut us down because we're so popular, because we are so successful. Wildly successful. They can't put us in the boxing ring when we weigh 800 pounds and can bench press 10 million pounds compared to a chicken neck snot-nosed globalist that weighs 45 pounds and has pus dripping out of its eyeballs. I mean, you know, they're just globalist rats is what we're talking about here. Nobody, scum, trash, collaborators, enemies who want to tell you there's no Islamic terror and want to tell you it's your fault there's mass shootings. People are sick of that, but they can't have anybody out there to let you know you're not alone, to let you know you are common sense. They want to make you think you're crazy, where there's no one out there agreeing with you, no one out there to validate what you're saying. Debbie, I apologize for ranting over. You got about a minute and a half to finish up. But, I mean, getting into the, you call into even so-called conservative shows and you say things like, you know, well, the things you were bringing up earlier. They go, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, see? And that's the gatekeeping. If they don't do that, they're fired. Go ahead.
Yes, I brought up the attack on the family. They had an article about children shouldn't be forced to say the words "I'm sorry" by their parents. I called in on that show, and that was like they let me say my point, and then they cut me off. They wouldn't even let me respond to the host, who again was trying to make me sound like a nut.
Oh yeah, this is the force feeding that your kids don't belong to you.
Right, and I told them that it was the agenda of the totalitarian left. Well, of course, that set them off.
Oh, because there is no totalitarian. Let me guess. Do these guys claim they don't know they're Democrat or Republican? They act like they don't know, because that's the memo. They act like, I don't know who I am. And they sit there preying on you with a job to suppress you. Stay there. I'm coming back to you again, Debbie. I want to hear how these snivelers operate. Because these are enemies, folks. They're running a serious psyop with hatred towards your family.
Live.com today.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe.
Lost my wife
and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they
And I hope that judge ain't blind.
I hope that judge ain't blind.
Let me tell you, the big judge isn't blind. That judge sees all. All times. All dimensions. Amarillo by morning. Up from San Antonio. All right, I want to go back to Debbie, who I've been cutting off. I should do whole counter seminars to not just leftist and foundation seminar callers that for at least 25 years call in with talking points to major national shows. And that's come out in Congress. It's admitted. Soros himself has spent, what I know of, tens of millions just on seminar callers. That's a conservative number. He spends billions a year on different things, obviously. Jihad operations, right-wing Nazi overthrow operations, mass criminal activity operations, you name it. I mean, he literally is beyond a Spectre commander from a James Bond movie. He actually does reportedly have cats. I guess maybe the character's based on him. But talk radio, I've been told by local hosts, I've been told by folks that I've known for 20 years, I've been told by staples around the country that they're called in the last 2 years and told, you stop bashing Obama, saying there's a criminal takeover, saying all this stuff's really happening, or you're going to be off the air. People are like, but I have top ratings, I'm popular. They go, it doesn't matter. And some of them go along with it, some of them don't. And this is what's happening. They do not want you to have any communications medium. And they're getting rid of most people locally. And they're trying to get Clear Channel to axe Limbaugh and a bunch of other folks on their contracts. And Limbaugh, I know, is not perfect people, but the point is, if they can kill talk radio, they can kill it all. And they've told Matt Drudge and others, the Supreme Court, that this is happening next year. Well, I'm seeing it go on. And I'm seeing them play every dirty trick they can to shut off our sponsors. Well, you know, I saw you trying that years ago. I said, you know what? I'll just direct sell myself. See how you like that. I mean, I adapt. I overcome with God's good graces with the brain God gave me. But, Debbie, let me guess. Give us some of the topics you call in with when they call you a conspiracy theorist. Like when we said 2 days ago these guys were jihadis and we were conspiracy theorists. And so that's what they do. If you say the sky is blue, they say that. It's a trick. And then let me guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't disagree with me. I mean, I know you won't, but do they act like they're kind of conservative, kind of liberal? Because that's the new disinfo op, is this wishy-wash thing. And then they sit there and really squat on top of the conservatives and then screen the calls to try to get the liberals on. Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly what they did to me. And then I got angry and I said to my husband, do you believe this? Did you hear
it's a playbook.
How I was treated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would get angry and he would go, well, you know, they have to play kind of the middle. And I was like, but let me finish my point. Let me at least answer like he lets everybody else answer, but they hang up on me. And real quick,
man, it's a playbook. I've talked to probably, let's not exaggerate, I've been to some of the big conferences and stuff. And in fact, a couple of them I didn't announce I was at just so I could really talk to people. Everyone's being told, you do this or you're fired. So this is what they do. And it's not both sides. People don't want that. They can get MSNBC if they want both sides, a pack of liars. If you talk about what's happening in this country, they fire you. They don't care about ratings because the big hospital groups and others don't want Obamacare repealed. I know for a fact, I'm not going to get into it because it's off record, the fact that I was told all this stuff, so I'm just going to shut up right now. Just know what's going on, people. It's big, okay? people wouldn't believe the amount of money being spent. In fact, it's actually a racket now to put me on the air for 6 months, which is fine, to actually have these people come buy out the time to get me off air. And then as soon as that money goes up, the stations put me back on to get the money again. So I say, fine, let the stations do it to survive, whatever. I'm just telling you, folks, we're dealing with a criminal operation. Go ahead.
I tried to tell them about the flu shot fraud. My father-in-law was Dr. Richard Whelan from Valhalla, New York, who died in 2011, who told me, never get a flu shot. Same as Dr. Group. And I brought that up on a show when they were talking about the vaccines, and they were like, oh, well, there's no proof that there's...
Ma'am, stay there. You held so much. I'm going to let you finish again, then more calls, and then I'm going to Paul Watson. Rally Patriots worldwide. Now into hour number three. Hour number four is coming up with David Knight, Leanne McAdoo, and more.
Big Brother, mainstream media,
government cover.
You want answers?
You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. I walk along
the avenue. You only live once on this plane of existence, my friends. Fulfill your destiny to not be a slave programmed by the globalist. Rediscover human liberty and take action. I'm going to go to a few more calls, and Paul Watson will take calls with Paul Watson. I start hyperventilating and ranting when I talk about how the system's trying to kill talk radio, the war on talk radio, the war on free speech, the war on internet free speech, how they are purging local hosts around the country with advertising money. I mean, it is really, really, really a big deal. And I'm just too classy with stations we've worked with for decades in some cases when I'm told stuff off record to divulge it. But I tell you, one has to wonder if this stuff's legal that's going on. But it's going on. And it's going on because we're hurting the globalists. They used to think we were a joke. They don't think we're a joke now. And again, I want to be clear. Not Alex Jones. It's the thousands of hosts around the country. That's why I told people forever, if you got a business or whatever, you're successful, you got to go buy time on a local AM or FM that's got some decent ratings. You can buy time on the weekend for nothing. Start telling patriots about it. And that one show can organize a political movement in your town or city that has a big effect. Well, the globalists now know about that, and they are fighting that tooth and nail. Because believe me, when tyranny comes in, people really start listening to patriots. Now, I'm one of the biggest fish in this fight, so a lot of what they do to me bounces off. Though they've got their licks in, but my scars make me strong. But believe me, I know how real this is because I've dealt with these people for a long time and all the sellouts. You know, our big problem isn't the evil people, it's all the sellouts that know what's going on and apologize about it and go, gosh, it's really real. Police chiefs and so many others that aren't even bad people. They'll tell you, yeah, I know you're telling the truth now. And boy, you ought to know about this, but I just got to go along with it, though, Alex, because, you know, not all of us are going to fight it like you. I mean, how do you fight it anyways? I mean, it's so big. It's like going in with your X-Wings against the Death Star and saying, look at the size of that thing. Folks, we're going to lose it all if we don't go in against this. Don't you understand that? And the fact it's so big makes it easier to take it on. It's so illegitimate. It's so criminal. It's so over the top. And 98% of the evil is coming by good men and women being henpecked, bullied by political correctness to submit. And now the sun's setting. Now they want to start arresting people and shutting down free speech and really coming after us. They admit the armored vehicles aren't for Al-Qaeda or ISIS or the jihadis that just hit us again. They say it's for veterans, gun owners, Christians, libertarians, and that we're going to have a war with the feds. Well, what are they going to do that's so bad that we'll be forced into a war? You think about that. They know when they start general gun confiscation and when they false flag and blame it on patriots that people aren't going to go down to the police station and then people start disappearing. Oh, they're just being interrogated. They were just sent to the re-education center. They even call it a re-education center in the 2012 Army document that's at army.mil. I'm going to say that again very slowly. Army.mil has scores of white papers, like we'll pull them up, put them on screen for TV viewers, admitting the preparation to round up the Tea Party and put you in camps. So how do they respond? They come out with Jade Helm about mastering the human domain, about dominating, about taking over. And then we say, look, it's more conditioning for a takeover down the road. And then they misrepresent and say that we're saying that the military's going to take over and kill us this summer, and then it doesn't happen. It's all disinfo hoaxes. Army Regulation 210-35, Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program. Boom, that's one of them. Also, just type in re-education camp Army document. That'll bring up that resettlement document. Here's a new article. Just went up on Infowars.com. Muslim migrants display open or die banner at Macedonian border. Attack police. Open or die. Greece and Macedonia, formerly part of Greece, is where Alexander the Great came from, are not letting them in Turkey is a direct conduit. And they are killing and attacking people. Open or die. Submit or die. And look, all military age men wearing their designer clothing. They want to make their mark. They want to be a man. They already had their jihad in Syria. Now they're coming to the West. And the people running the government, not the soldiers, but the ones running the governments, want to bring them in so they can then dominate and control the population. Debbie, I've been ranting over you. Then I'm going to Watson, and we'll take calls with Randy and others while Watson's on. But you being censored, trying to call and talk radio as a conservative, this is done by design. You know it's not just some goofy host. This is a trend by design with big advertisers, mainly in healthcare, insurance, and banking, and governmental, saying, we will not sponsor you if you have True Patriot programming on. Go ahead.
Yep, no, absolutely. I basically covered as many points that I could think of while I was on hold, but I just want to say Merry Christmas and God bless you all at InfoWars, and thank you so much for all you do. You really are fantastic, and I adore you.
Well, no, man, please don't thank me. I want to explain something. I know this is a death battle. I mean, I've risked my life. I know it's real. I've been there. I've seen it. I've been attacked. I've been threatened. They've tried to buy me off. I mean, I know we're going down. We're being taken over. How could I sit here and not be crazed? I mean, to control myself and watch the country killed in front of me where my kids live takes a lot of control. I'm a realist. And so as a man, all I'm doing is trying to defend my family. That's normal. So don't thank me for doing the self-preservation move. That's why I get so angry at other men. But they just don't see themselves in the role of being involved. They think other men do that. They're little boys. And I'm not putting those men down. A lot of those guys will get in a fight with you if you look at them wrong. But they wouldn't get involved politically if their life depended on it. They got all the trappings of being a tough guy. But when it comes down to their country itself going down, where are they? What are they doing? Let's go to Paul Joseph Watson with his daily update with us. Paul Joseph Watson joining us from London, England. Paul, so much has unfolded. You've got a new report out. I knew you'd have a bunch of stuff you were working on. You can now break it here on air. I will tell you, I was talking to Biggs during the break. They had confirmed that in Dearborn, when the attack happened 2 days ago, fireworks were shot off. Two separate groups of people. Now they've got other groups telling them fireworks were shot off. Allah Akbar was announced and even played on loudspeakers. So this is really getting bad. Paul Joseph Watson.
But why would they be celebrating an act of workplace violence, Alex? I mean, that makes no sense, right? So now we know the female attacker pledged allegiance to ISIS right before she launched this massacre. A pro-ISIS media group is saying that followers of ISIS carried out the attack. We know they watched ISIS propaganda videos. But the media, a lot of it is still saying that this could just be workplace violence. And now, I don't know if you've covered this, but in the past hour or so, MSNBC basically just burst into the apartment belonging to these jihadists, contaminating evidence, looking at shredded files, you know, putting fingerprints on the walls.
By the way, I agree with you. I haven't covered this properly, but you're absolutely right. When I watched them rummaging through, grabbing stuff, clearly they are a government arm, a Southern Poverty Law Center arm. They were getting in there to get stuff they're afraid the public's going to get to. I can't believe the police would let them in a crime scene. Something's going on here.
Well, at first they said, oh, we got the landlord's permission, but now he's saying they rushed into the apartment without his permission. You know, they're picking up driver's license. How is this not still a crime scene? If you've got accomplices, we know they had neighbors who reported multiple Middle East men in that area. How do they not know that other accomplices could have been in that apartment? Now they've contaminated all the fingerprints.
It's a cover-up,
Paul. It's completely ludicrous.
And notice who they sent in, MSNBC. I'm telling you, folks, MSNBC sits up in big conference rooms in basically military command. Their trendy outfits are uniforms to fool the public. Okay, you know, the cute little shirts and all of it. Literally, folks, they are in military meetings with the CIA, okay, and top government psychiatrists. This has even come out to Jack, so is CNN. I cannot quote to you enough of how sinister these people are. Go ahead.
Well, another thing that you're going to love, Alex, and this is on my Twitter page. If you just scroll down a little bit, they can throw it up on screen. The New Yorker came out with its new issue for December 14th. And it's a drawing, it's a cartoon of two Americans buying assault rifles, and they're white. This is supposed to represent what happened in San Bernardino. It's a white couple shopping for assault rifles and groceries. I mean, completely ludicrous. And again, you go back to, for example, Salon.com. You know, after the Boston bombing, Salon.com said, quote, Muslims don't need to apologize for the Tsarnaevs. But after the Dylann Roof Charleston massacre, they said, quote, white America must answer for the Charleston church massacre. Now, what are they saying in the aftermath of this jihadist slaughter? Again, go back to Dylann Roof. They said, quote, white America is complicit.
So Islam must answer for the attacks and is complicit, according to their yardstick.
Yeah, but this is what they actually said. Saeed Farouk is an American. Let's stop the Muslim debate and take a close look at ourselves. Meanwhile, he's watching ISIS propaganda videos. He's radicalized. He goes to Saudi Arabia. They're pledging allegiance to ISIS online. But again, it's nothing to do with Islam, the religion of peace. Which, again, is completely disproven.
Now, let's remember, this is White House connected, Southern Poverty Law Center connected, Media Matters connected, Salon, that has written five articles I know of saying that pedophilia is loving.
Oh, yeah, they've completely jumped the shark at this point. But, again, it goes
let's
back
just remember,
to the video
let's just remember. Let's just remember that they don't think pedophilia is a big deal.
No, exactly. They think it's an alternative sexual lifestyle, and they give platforms to wannabe child molesters to say that. And it's trendy. It's liberal. But now, of course, the report this morning was that a CNN analyst speculating that Farouk may have found the Christmas party offensive. There's also a report saying that he had an argument with a Jewish person who was critical of ISIS and Islam.
Yeah, the first guy he reportedly blew away was the old Jewish guy.
Yeah, he's dead now. So they're going back to this rhetoric about, well, maybe if he was offended, then it's somewhat justified, like the Charlie Hebdo cartoonists massacred in cold blood. Maybe they were provoking.
Yeah, he saw a Christmas tree. He saw a Jew. He had to do it.
But it gets even more serious when you understand this article, which ties in with it, which we can discuss more after the break. Universities deem Secret Santa mistletoe colors red and green to be politically incorrect.
I skipped the break. And I know you're focusing on this. Islam, radical Islam admits, ISIS admits, it's allying with the left and the feminist. This is the most oxymoronic, gibbering weirdness I've ever seen. But they're now really doing it across the country. Ban Christmas. You better not have a secret Christmas party at a college or the dean's going to expel you. And meanwhile, the attorney general has come out and gave a speech yesterday to a Muslim group. She didn't go comfort the dad's family. You know, she went to comfort the Islamicist and says that she promises to criminalize speech and says they will go after people criticizing Islam. I mean, what a dirtbag. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, in line with what's happening in Germany, where they're going after people on Facebook who express criticism over the refugee invasion, going after them with a secret Stasi. But again, going back to this Christmas issue, you know, for about a decade or more, liberals have made fun of the war on Christmas. And I agreed with them to some extent. I thought it was overblown until now reading this, which is universities and colleges across the country are publishing these advisories to staff and students, telling them that they shouldn't have Secret Santa, they shouldn't have mistletoe, they shouldn't include the colors red and green in their decorations at these holiday parties because it might offend someone.
Now they're even going after the neo-pagan stuff that is nothing but a regurgitation of ancient Germanic wintertime cults to bring an evergreen in to the hut during the freezing cold because it smelled good and medically believed it was healthy, and they would also decorate it. That's not even Christian. They even want that banned.
Oh, even Santa. Using the term Secret Santa is now inappropriate. They say that you've got to call it practical joke gift exchange or secret gift exchange because saying the word Santa might offend somebody. It might trigger somebody. And it might force them to, you know, curl up in a ball in their safe space. So this is Ohio State University. It's Cornell University, UT Knoxville. They're all imposing these guidelines saying that these things are offensive, which is funny because 3 days ago on Twitter, I predicted that they would start saying mistletoe was rape culture. Now, that's what they're doing because they're saying that people may feel excluded from that.
And again, this all sounds crazy, but it's meant to be crazy. They've got to be able to ban whatever they want because they control reality. They say what is allowed to exist. It's called cult-level brainwashing.
Yeah, and remember this Halloween. I mean, this happened at Yale where they surrounded the professor in a group, in a mob, and basically shouted him down, screamed and cried and wailed because he said that wearing a Halloween costume like a sombrero or whatever was not cultural appropriation and that you should not take offense to it.
But then when a woman says she's black and she's not, which is cultural appropriation, that's okay. It's just total la-la land.
Friendly. So, I mean, at least these lawmakers in Tennessee are speaking out against it. They're calling for the chancellor to resign after they issued these guidelines. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, maybe they're right. I mean, after all, Farouk, the San Bernardino shooter, might have been offended by the Christmas party. So we should probably ban Christmas so as not to be insensitive to the jihadists because they are special snowflakes. They do have feelings. And we should cater to them by banning Christmas. So I actually agree with this, Alex.
And let's expand on that. This just in from Adan Salazar, Infowars.com. War on Christmas, proposed city ordinance would ban Christmas caroling. This has been done in Germany and in Italy in some areas. Holiday revelers into free speech zones or safe places. We have new footage at a university in London, the University of London, where even a leftist group was not even allowed to speak about the issue of Islam to an Islamic group that they were helping bring in. And the Islamists began to scream and yell at them and shut the meeting down. And the school basically agrees, shut down free speech, that's good. Residents of the town in Florida may be fined for performing Christmas carols on public sidewalks if a proposed city ordinance passes. But see, you're allowed to have free speech. A citizen is warning city commissioners in Winter Park, Florida, will vote later this month on whether to pass an ordinance regulating street performers and creating designated public performance areas. See, there you go. Paul Joseph Watson, the tyranny is coming in like a flood. Let's talk to Randy in Canada. You're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Our Lord said, I didn't come back to make peace, but to divide. So the division is happening through the New World Order, through the anarchy, through the death, through the chaos. He's dividing us right now. And through you, you see? Without you, you're putting that message out. The people wouldn't get it. Wasn't for you, they wouldn't get the difference to weigh it, to see the difference between right and wrong.
No, I get it. The fire has to separate the impure metal from the gold and the wheat from the chaff. I mean, I understand that. But the globalists create artificial divisions so that, oh, you're not for Caitlyn Jenner, then you're hateful when they're stealing all of our basic rights. So they create fake divisions, but you're right. There should be divisions between us and NAMBLA.
If you, it's another thing to say this. People think I'm crazy to say it, but Satan has been doing God's work since the Garden of Eden.
Well, God's work is free will, so of course Satan is an agent who basically allows that free will to be tested. I hear you. It's an interesting point. Thank you for the call. I'm going to move quick. Robert in Alabama, you're on the air with Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, brother.
Yeah, I just want to speak on something the caller before this just said, is I've been blocked on Facebook multiple times. I repost and retweet everything y'all have to say, and every time it's the same message, improper content. And don't you think it's a little bit of a coincidence that right now when everybody's just waking up, when everybody wants to be free, that all of a sudden, now Christmas, they want to take it from us, too.
Absolutely. Well, sir, here's what's happening, just so you know. People say don't use Facebook, they can censor you, and they do improperly apply their rules. It's not fair. It's unfair trade practices, in my view. But we will still use the platform because we reach the sheeple there. Our reach in just the last month has quadrupled and is set to quintuple by next year just on the platform of Facebook. So despite all their censorship, what you do is you change our headlines, you copy our text into your own deal. That will get around a lot of their bots. You jam them. You put our text up on your own website and send that out. You test enemy operations literally, this is enemy operations, to get the transmissions through the picket line. And so that's how you counter them. It's how you deal with them. But yes, all of it. But we operate in these platforms because these are the electronic battlefields. Great point. Paul Joseph Watson, we've dealt with a lot of this. It gets worse and worse. That's why we're going to expand our offensives in the face of their activities.
Well, Facebook's been caught deleting posts that are, quote, sarcastic towards ISIS. They suspended access to your account for days because we posted an image of an ISIS militant alongside a news story. So there are always those kind of snafus. My posts get reported all the time for, quote, nudity, when it's just a link to a news article, no nudity whatsoever. But the good news is they don't normally delete them. So when people complain en masse, it forces those kind of algorithms to reset themselves. And, you know, if you throw mass outrage at it, then they're not going to implement that as a policy. So I think it's getting a bit better than it used to be on Facebook from what I've seen.
Absolutely. And again, we're just reporting on what's happening. And we struck back. We fought back. They've backed off some. So is YouTube. YouTube just sent us an award, and there are, you know, million subscribers or whatever on one of our channels. So you know, there are a lot of good folks there, a lot of bad folks there. That's why we have to dominate the marketplace of ideas and not let them censor us. They're afraid we're becoming mainstream. Paul Watson, great job. We'll keep watching your reporting this weekend at InfoWars.com. We've got economic news coming up and your phone calls. I'm Alex Jones.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
He comes on every 2 or 3 weeks. Last time he was on, he predicted that the job numbers coming out would be worse in the next month, and that indeed has happened. Also, coming towards the United States like a runaway freight train is the full implementation of Obamacare next year. We've seen overall about a doubling of premiums in the last 2 years, but the real hammer comes down next year, and that's a story out of the LA Times. We're going to be going over that with Peter Schiff as well. Quite frankly, when he comes on for 20, 30 minutes on economic news, it's interesting, it's informative. A lot of his predictions have come true. Peter's really interesting, though, just on politics and the world in general. So I want to invite him back up next time to spend maybe 15 minutes on economic news, but 30 or 40 minutes on other issues, because so much is happening in the world and it's all tied together. But it's so immoral to demand we take millions in the West of Islamic radical refugees from war-torn areas where people can't get along with each other, give them everything free, and then have them go around murder and shoot and blow people up, attack Christmas parties, hunt down and find out who's Jewish in the office and shoot them. That's now coming out. And then the media tries to cover it up. I mean, why is our media allied with radical Islam, but then would attack the wrong country after 9/11, Iraq? I mean, it's just crazy. But socialists are allied with other totalitarians, and radical Islam is totalitarian. We're going to talk to Peter Schiff about that in a moment as well. I know we probably didn't know he was going to get into that, but he is. And then, of course, your phone calls into the next hour with David Knight and others hosting the fourth hour today. And then I'll be back this Sunday, Lord willing, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Briefly, if you want to support the broadcast, get high-quality products, and get the lowest prices ever to introduce yourself to the high-quality nutraceuticals, the high-quality Patriot apparel, the high-quality water filtration systems, the powerful films and books, and so much more, go to InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com. That's the subdomain for nutraceuticals. You can find the specials right there. And there's a bunch of specials that have already ended this week. The free shipping I've extended out until December 18th. And then $9.95 colloidal silver makes a great gift as well. That is for internal or topical, obviously. That ends today. That is unprecedented. 30% off X2 Nation Iodine ends at midnight. 20% off the super high quality InfoWars Select storable food from My Patriot. 20% off the already lowest prices and free shipping. No one can match that. I've only offered that special two other times. That ends. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And your purchases, your free will, you're buying quality products from us, is why I can have Joe Biggs going to California to cover the shooting. Why I can have him up in upstate New York at the Islamic training centers and have drone footage of their training camps. It's how we can have reporters at Bilderberg and reporters in Paris for the attacks and all of it. Because we are a real news journalist organization. The founder of the Weather Channel was on yesterday saying he's a viewer and that we're going to end up taking over the media. Well, it's not just us. It's other patriots. We're libertarians. We just want freedom. And to see MSNBC demonize us for saying 2 days ago that the attack in San Bernardino was an Islamic terror attack, and now it's admitted, headline, San Bernardino shooting, attacker pledged allegiance to ISIS, officials say, had bomb vest, tactical gear, throwing pipe bombs at police, and they say it's not terror, and then blame American gun owners. That's why mainstream media is dying. 2 days later, now the FBI is investigating as an act of terror. Imagine France investigating it for 2 days as an act of terror. So Peter Schiff of Europac.com, billions under management, for folks that don't know who you are, obviously we usually get you on about financial stuff. We'll spend some time on that in the brief time we have, but I've set the table here about the state of the world, the open borders, this idea we've got to pay for all these people who mainly invaded Syria to take it over and failed. What is Obama, Hollande, Merkel thinking? They're going to start attacking us. They are attacking us. What do they think they're going to do? I mean, they're going to get held responsible, or maybe they're not.
Look, I have no idea what they think about these things, and I don't know how much they actually care about it. I think, Obama's just trying to finish out his term without any major disasters happening. That's probably the most important thing for him. And then if something happens after he's gone, well, it's somebody else's fault. But, you know, the real problems that I'm paying attention to are what's happening in the economy, because those are man-made disasters. Those are disasters that we're really bringing about on our own. And we have a lot of control there. And I'm more concerned about the damage being done to our economy from within than what I'm concerned about the threats from without. And that's unfortunate, because the federal government is there to protect us from our international enemies. But instead, we need protection from our domestic enemy, which is the federal government.
Well, I agree, but the very same thinking that's bankrupting our future, Peter, your audio just cut out for a moment, that very same thinking is the thinking that brings in people from radical jihad areas and won't even screen their passports. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem is the government spends so much resource and so much time doing all the things that they shouldn't do, that there's not much left over to actually do the things they're supposed to do. The government is there to preserve and protect our liberties. And unfortunately, our liberties are at threat from the government, right? They talk about having the fox guard your head house. That's what's going on right now when the government is there to protect us.
So what is the big economic news? There's a lot of it.
Yeah, look, a lot of stuff is happening. You know, today we got the non-farm payroll number, which, you know, that's all anyone talks about. They don't talk about the trade deficit that came out today, too, which was much worse than expected. In fact, our exports were at the lowest they've been in 3 years. And in fact, our trade deficit with Mexico just hit a 3-year high. They revised up last month's trade deficit and made it worse than they originally reported. So all of this is going to weigh on GDP. In fact, earlier in the week, we got the ISM manufacturing number. It came out way below estimates, 48.6, the biggest drop in more than 6 years. The last time the ISM was this low was during the 2008-2009 Great Recession. The only time it almost got this low was back in 2012, just before the Fed launched QE3. So manufacturing is already in a recession. We got the ISM non-manufacturing numbers yesterday, which came out way below expectations as well. Not in contraction mode yet, but give it time. I think this is coming. So manufacturing is in recession. The overall economy will likely join the manufacturing sector next year. In fact, in the jobs numbers that came out today, we lost manufacturing jobs again. All we did is create a bunch of service sector jobs, low-paying jobs. In fact, the vast majority of these jobs are probably part-time jobs. We had a big spike this month in involuntary part-time employment, people accepting reluctantly part-time jobs, even though they want full-time jobs. Yet everyone is still convinced the Fed is about to raise interest rates in, what, a week and a half. And, you know, they just might do it now because Janet Yellen has basically assured everybody that it doesn't matter if they raise rates now. What matters is what do they do afterwards. And she's basically trying to take the sting out of it by making this the most dovish rate hike ever by saying, look, even if we raise rates, we're not going to raise them very much in the future. And it's going to be a long time before we raise them again. So don't worry. We're going to go very slowly. In fact, I think they're going to go so slow that it's going to be one and done. I think when they raise rates, the next thing they're going to do is cut them back down to zero because we'll probably be in a recession next year or close enough to it that the Fed tries to delay the onset of that recession by stimulating again, by going back down to zero, doing QE4. And of course, when the Fed does that, they're going to look like complete fools.
Well, they talked about it. The jobs report was good, raising it a little bit, but now Yellen's playing that down.
You know, well, she's been doing that for months now. Ever since the stock market was tanking in September when they were afraid of the rate hike, Janet Yellen's been doing everything she can to backtrack. But the only reason she might raise rates, despite the fact that the data that she claims to be depending on is awful, is because she feels that her credibility will be lost if she doesn't. She only wants to raise rates to prove that we can do it. It's to try to send some kind of message of confidence that the Fed is confident enough in the economy to raise rates, even though they're not confident at all. Because if they were confident, they would have raised rates years ago, and they wouldn't be promising to move so slowly. Meanwhile, you know, the data is bad, and they don't want to acknowledge that. If the Fed was data dependent, they wouldn't be raising rates based on their own criteria, but they don't want to acknowledge what should be obvious. But now even, you know, even Citigroup now is coming out and saying that they put the odds of a recession next year at 65%.
What does the move to bring the Chinese currency into the world basket of currency signify?
Well, I think for Americans, it signifies the end of an era. I think it's the beginning of a larger move that will elevate the value of the yuan relative to the dollar. And I think anything that threatens the dollar's dominance as a reserve currency is a threat to our phony standard of living. I mentioned earlier that we had a larger than expected trade deficit. Our trade deficits are enormous. And what we do is we give the world the paper that we print for the goods that they produce. And it's not an even swap. We get things of real value and they just get little pieces of paper. But as the world wakes up to reality, they're not going to want our paper anymore. They're going to realize that it's not worth the paper it's printed on. And then it's going to be impossible for us to import the things that we need. It's also impossible to produce the things that we need because we don't have the productive capacity. We don't have the factories anymore. We don't have the workers that even know how to operate the machines, assuming that we had them. So the economy is all screwed up and it's not prepared for what's about to happen. But what's going on with the Chinese yuan is a step in that process.
Going over the economic numbers, the ISM and others, does that just confirm what you thought was going to happen, or does it change your prognosis in any way?
No, it confirms it because this is all weak economic data showing the weakness underlying our economy that everybody wants to ignore. Meanwhile, you know, people were expecting much more money printing coming out of the ECB, and Mario Draghi yesterday didn't deliver that. And we had a huge drop in the dollar against the euro. The dollar lost about 3% in one day. Gold has had a little bit of a muted reaction yesterday. Gold was up about 10 bucks yesterday, but now it's up more than $20 today. In fact, gold is now over $40 above its low yesterday morning. We're seeing big moves up now in gold stocks. And the last time I was on this program, what I told you about gold is that I believe that regardless of what the Fed does, whether they raise by 25 basis points or not, gold prices are going higher because it's already fully discounted into the market. In fact, I believe more rate hikes than are actually going to be delivered have been built into the market. Lots of people have shorted gold on anticipation of a rate hike, and I think they're buying the fact beforehand. They're not waiting for the Fed to hike rates to start buying. They're already buying and think by the time the Fed does hike rates, if they do in a week and a half, prices could be considerably higher from here. In the meantime, I think the dollar could go down. And what nobody is paying attention to is while everybody's pretending that everything is great in the U.S., the economic data is actually stronger now in Europe than it is in the the United States. That's how bad our data is. So our Federal Reserve is talking about tightening, even though our data is weaker than the European data, and they're talking about more stimulus. So I think what's going to surprise everybody next year is the fact that the Europeans have to slam on the brakes. We're the ones that are going to be stepping on the monetary gas. And so the dollar is going to be the weak currency, and gold is going to be the primary beneficiary of that.
I want to take a call for you. Richard in California has a question about silver. Richard, go ahead. You're on the air with Peter Schiff of Pacific Pac. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hello there, Alex.
Euro Pacific Capital.
Peter?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hello there, Alex and Peter Schiff. It's good to talk to you both. I have a few points, but first one is on silver. What do you expect silver to do? I keep hearing the word that silver is supposed to be the new gold, but I wonder why and how and what way.
Well, I don't know if it's the new gold, but it just needs to be the old silver. I mean, silver is still valuable. It doesn't have to replace gold. It's simply, you know, gold's less expensive cousin. It has monetary properties. It's been used as money. And the two precious metals kind of move in the same direction. Maybe silver just has more volatility. So when the metals are going down, silver goes down more. And when they're going up, it goes up more, but I expect substantial appreciation in both gold and silver. But when it comes to the difference between the two or the ratio between gold and silver, I think there's actually more upside potential in gold, in silver, relative to gold, given the ratio now is very extreme in gold's favor against silver. So I would look in this bull market when this new bull market resumes, and if gold's 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, wherever it ends up, maybe higher than that, I think the appreciation in silver on a percentage basis will be even higher.
Let me ask this. Which metal do you think is more undervalued?
I don't know. I mean, I think historically you would say silver if you just look at the ratio.
That's what I'd say.
You know, there could be other things that are at play that influence that. But historically, the ratio is pretty solid.
What has less of a supply, though? What has less of a in the ground supply we know about? Isn't it gold?
Well, gold is going to be scarcer than silver. I mean, that's one of the reasons it's so much more valuable.
Sure, but I mean, per capita, though, there's less gold, they think, in new discoverable reserves in the metric from the articles I've read than there is silver still in what they're discovering. Gold's becoming even more scarce, or is that wrong?
I'm not certain of those numbers. I know that gold in general is scarcer than silver, and it has properties that silver doesn't have. It's a more valuable metal based on its properties. And I think that when the world goes back to a gold standard, I don't think it's going to go back to a bimetallic standard, you know, officially, like we did in the United States. We had gold and silver. But I think when we remonetize gold, I don't know that the same thing is going to happen to silver. But silver is still going to be used, I believe, by the people as money. And there's going to be a lot more demand for it.
Well, I know this. There's so much paper out there. It's been going on forever, all these credit default swaps. This has got to come down sometime. Richard, thank you so much for your call. When we come back, I'm going to try to go to some other calls here. I'll do some overdrive, too, to finish with everybody's call. People that are patiently holding, like Dante, Jared, James, Sean, and others. But in the minute we've got before break, Peter Schiff, what else is on your radar that you think people should know about?
Well, I think the most important thing is this change in dynamic. And, you know, everybody was looking for the Fed to begin raising interest rates as, oh, the beginning of a tightening cycle. And I think if it's more of a one and done, if it's, hey, we're just raising rates now to prove that we can do it, but don't worry, we're not going to be raising them a lot anytime soon, I think that really changes the dynamic. And, you know, it was very interesting because Janet Yellen was asked a question yesterday. She was testifying before Capitol Hill. And somebody asked her, what if we are in recession next year? What are you going to do? What are your tools? And what Janet Yellen said was, well, you know, if it turns out that we raised interest rates, we'll just lower them. And then because, you know, quantitative easing worked so well in the past, we'll just do it again, which shows you how clueless she is. Because if we are right back in recession next year, that proves that quantitative easing didn't work.
Absolutely. Europac.com. Euro Pacific Capital Inc., the head of that. Peter Schiff, our guest, will be back soon with us. We're going to come back with your phone call. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Continuing with calls, Mike and Jared and Dante, you're up next. Let's go ahead and go to Mike in Wyoming. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Alex.
I don't know if you caught O'Reilly's show yesterday, but Trump, I don't know, I think he must have scouted O'Reilly's show, and he wanted to sound extremely radical, and he made wild statements about, you know, we need to go after the family members of terrorists. And even O'Reilly was caught off guard by the ridiculousness of the statement. I mean, we'd have a clash of civilizations that would go on forever.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I didn't see that quote, but I did see him making it on other shows. And I drilled down deeper, and then he had the proviso. He's obviously doing it to feed the bears, to, you know, red meat, saying arrest them, interrogate them. And that's actually what the CIA does, is they actually threaten to torture people's kids to get fake confessions. That happened in some big cases. And of course, I'm against that because they're basically not even going after even real terrorists. We lose the moral high ground. Our government's funding the radical jihadists. So I hear what you're saying. And Trump does do things like this. I didn't see the O'Reilly. Did he, without the proviso, say, you know, kill people's kids or wives? Or what did he say?
Yeah. He said we need to get serious and go after the family members. He said they may be willing to sacrifice themselves, but they do care about their families.
Well, he's been told that by spooks, because that's actually true. And the big dirty secret is they actually kill people's whole families. And that is something the jihadis don't like, is their little kids getting killed. I don't support that. And there's a sick thought, well, we'll stop a big attack if we do that. Oh, bull. If they'd stop the real jihadis, they wouldn't have to get rid of any of our morals. You know, they're letting this happen bare minimum. Let me ask you this, Mike. You've been calling in for 16, 17 years. Hadn't called in months. A medical doctor, folks that know who Mike is. He's been a guest before. Briefly, Mike, what do you think's really going on with this shooting out there? I mean, they clearly knew. They're trying to cover it up. There are more sleeper cells coming in. What is the point of all this?
Well, that story you have on your site about Fiorina quoting the BATF on this matter, that that gun had been purchased on behalf of the San Bernardino police, and then they quickly cut her off and move off in a different direction. That's very telling.
Well, Joe Biggs first reported that, and that was in local media, yes, that he'd legally gotten it, but that they'd come from a police sale of some type of tactical weapons.
But, that, you know, there's just a lot of odd things about
this. Well, Mike, stay there then. Don't hang up. I'm going to come back and do a part of a segment with David Knight and finish up some of these calls. Don't hang up. I'm going to come back to you with your response. But here is the clip. They've been trying to get me to play it all day. I've dropped the ball. Here is the clip of her on national television bringing this up. We got attacked when we first reported on it nationally, but it was in the local news. Here it is.
If the NRA doesn't rate me 100%, perhaps that's more of a problem with how the NRA's values have changed than how my values have changed.
Okay, maybe we just disagree on this, but if you listen to your reporter earlier, what he said was that the ATF believes that someone purchased this gun on behalf of the police department, and somehow that gun ended up in the hands of this guy. So it actually doesn't sound at all like this man legally purchased a firearm.
And let me say,
And by the way, she's right. It's just CBS News Today. I have it here in my stack. In fact, I'll dig it out during the break. Should have led with this, quite frankly. I just, my head spins half the time with how much intel there is. It's insane. And we have a nose for this. Like 99% of the time when we go with what we think's accurate, it ends up being the accurate info, because we just have learned how this, it's like an art form. I can't even describe how we know, how we understand things. It's just, we have immersed ourselves in this. It's what we do. And there is a real move by the West to allow massive jihad forces in, and they are going to start attacking. I mean, it could be, you just heard the caller, and that was in the news, thousands of AK-47s being brought into Greece with all sorts of rich Arabic sponsors and stuff. I mean, you could see something like Paris times 1,000. We're talking tens of thousands dying if you get a couple hundred shooters. And they are bringing in people out of Syria with no background, no fake passports, everything else, who are combat-age males, who it turns out many of them are ISIS fighters, and the government on purpose is letting them in. And I smell a rat, and I wonder, how are they going to get away with it? That must mean they're meaning to take over. I mean, something bad's about to happen.
Waging war
on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I don't want to be in your British hell. Ain't no mystery.
Ain't no mystery.
Why I'm in misery. And his voice was really good back then. They call us walking corpses.
Unholy living dead.
They'd like to lock us up.
Lock us up.
Put us in their pretty pens. We are back live, broadcasting worldwide. I'm your host, Alex Jones. I'm going to eject here in about 12 minutes, and David Knight's going to take over. He's going to be riding shotgun with us here in about 30 seconds. In fact, David, let me ask you before we go back to a few of these calls, A, what's coming up in the fourth hour today, and B, on this Friday edition, yeah, Donald Trump, and the next time he's on, I will bring up some of these questions. I brought up a few tougher questions. Time just ran out. I was just so surprised at what I was told off air and some of the other things. I'm, you know, kind of deer in the headlights. But, yeah, saying things like we need surveillance, that'll stop it. They have the surveillance, and it wasn't used to protect us. Joe Biggs is being spied on. The feds are telling him, you know, we know right where you're at, up there covering Islamic centers. But then they can't find these people pledging allegiance to ISIS. I mean, I get it. Trump is saying what he thinks people want to hear to win. And then he says stuff like, go after people's families. Now, CJ has seen the full quotes I've seen where he elaborated, I mean, interrogate him, arrest him. But is that just red meat for constituents, or does this kind of show the more white horse side, the man on the white horse side of a Donald Trump? My issue is he's pro-gun, pro-control our borders. The globalists hate him. That makes you like him. The other Republican leadership is so milquetoast. I mean, I like Rand Paul. No, he's a good guy, but his campaign managers, you know, want him to act like Howdy Doody or something. Where do you see all this going? What do you think about Trump?
Well, Alex, the thing that concerns me is not so much about Trump, but it's about Americans. You know, when you look at Trump and you look at Carson, they both seem to reflect a mentality that the president is there to fix all issues, that they should have absolute power, that we are electing a Caesar. I mean, we see these kind of pronouncements, not just from the two of them, but from everybody. And that's apparently what the Americans want. They don't want a system of checks and balances of rights, individual rights enshrined in the Constitution. They just want somebody to fix problems. That brings us to a very dangerous point. And I think that's a danger that we see from virtually all these candidates, and it's brought on by the desires of the American people. So that's the thing that concerns me.
I agree. The American people could conjure something very, very dangerous.
Yes, yes.
Well, then you got Hillary and Bernie Sanders. We know.
Yes.
We know that's the second coming of Joe Stalin right there.
Yeah, and we know that about a lot of the Republican candidates as well. We know that about Jeb. We know that about Rubio, Lindsey Graham, and on and on. So there's a lot of concerns about where this is going to head. That's why I think that it's important to look at the presidential candidates. We follow the debates because this is where the establishment floats its ideas. This is where they test us, see how we're going to react. So I think it's important for us to know where they want things to go, how they're trying to manipulate us to deconstruct
that. It's a good point. It's a test marketing phase.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Mike in Wyoming. Mike, your take on the terror, where this is all going. Why they would be letting the whole Homeland Security system and the European system be in trouble, letting terrorists attack? Do they think they can have a triumph over reality that they're the ones letting this happen, but they're not going to get in trouble? What do you really think is going on? And closing comments on Donald Trump. Mike in Wyoming.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alex. I thought that was directed at David Knight. I misunderstood you. Where do I think this is all going? Well, clearly, I think the internationalists have selected ISIS as a means to install the New World Order, to a police state, to give them an excuse to take away our rights, to take away all of our freedoms, and they're going to use this worldwide. It looks like not accepting America, so we better get busy and throw off our inhibitions and start writing, start talking to people, and not worry, you know, get a thick skin, not worry about how people perceive you, just like Alex. I just wrote an op-ed along these lines, and, people are waking up. That's the good news. Even the docs that I work with, they're slowly coming around to realize that this government is malignant, and they are the source of most of the problems. They're not.
Well, that's what I'm wondering for you and for David, because I study all the angles. This elite is so reckless now. I've never, where their narrative is worn so thin, where most people, even those that aren't very informed, and every military person I talk to knows the government's running Al-Qaeda and ISIS, knows there's a takeover, knows that Homeland Security is for us, knows that this police state's being put in place for us. The cops I know are aware of this. They know there's a plan to cause a civil war with them. I mean, I just wonder if the globalists are so disconnected now that they think this is 1995 or something, or 96, and they can blow up a federal building and blame it on us. We got people worldwide everywhere that are awake and dialed in, and every move the globalists are going to try to make will blow up in their face at this point. Do you think they, A, do you disagree, and then B, do they realize we're moving into checkmate on their butts?
I think we've entered into new territory here. When your top generals, including, you know, Mike Flynn, the former head of DIA and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dunford, I think he's a four-star, both just flatly contradict the president. I mean, Flynn says that the administration is arming ISIS, and Dunford says, the president's incorrect. We don't have ISIS contained. You know, big surprise after the Paris attack.
And we were ordered to do this because these guys know it's such a crime. They want to be on record going, I was ordered. This is the equivalent. This is a wimpy version of Operation Valkyrie. And I agree with you. People don't realize this is one step away from a military coup when they act like that. I mean, these guys are risking their lives. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if both of them don't end up dead now. I mean, I don't think people understand, folks, how real this is. You're absolutely right. Other comments, Mike, and then David Knight.
No, I think you're absolutely right. This is the equivalent of Valkyrie. These guys, they've certainly put their careers on the line, if not their lives. And I equivocated for quite a while, trying to decide, as you do every day, you know, do I write something about this? But when these guys are willing to put their lives on the line, how can I not? I mean,
fact that they're doing it shows they know how much trouble we're in. They know this isn't just going to be corruption as usual, and maybe they can slowly fix it from the inside. People now realize the evil is going for our neck. This is a death battle, folks, that we're about to enter into the next couple of years. I just got chills. I'm going to say it again. Death battle. I felt it in my gut for years building towards this. The last 6 months, now you see it's all happening. And in my spirit is just like on fire. It is ready. I'm telling you, folks, I can feel the enemy. Just like, to use a Lord of the Rings analogy, you know, the sword glows when the goblins are close. The sword is on fire, folks. I mean, it is, my sixth sense is on fire. My spirit is on fire. And my discernment is on fire. And it is just, and I know yours is as well. God bless you, Mike. Now is the time to speak out and say no to the system. Now is the time to decide which side you're on. David Knight?
You know, Alex, I saw an interesting op-ed piece from your old friend Piers Morgan. And what he said was, if we treat all mass shootings as Muslim terror attacks, America would have new gun laws faster than those bullets. And I looked at that and I thought, is he absolutely crazy? That is not the reaction of the American people when they see this this kind of an action.
They want more guns.
They want more guns. But Alex, as I thought about it, and as I thought about the gun laws that Obama is proposing, I thought, you know, he's actually right. Because think about what Obama is trying to sell right now. The gun laws that they're trying to sell are the idea that based on somebody being on their phony no-fly terror list, which they don't do anything about those people. They just say, well, we got them on a secret watch list. Yeah, we knew about that, and we're watching them, but we don't do anything about it. And that's the other part of this. Leaving these people in place, letting them do a terror attack that they really want to do, really killing people, and then using that to push the idea that we should take this no-fly list and use it for judicial action against people, to deny our rights, being put on this list secretly. That's without right. Even knowing you're on the
That's
list.
That's their new talking point.
Yes.
That's their new talking point. That was their original plan when Obama first got in. You're absolutely right. And the fact that they would bring in millions of jihadis in Europe, hundreds of thousands here, knowing it's chock full. I mean, I'd say 20-30% have been in combat. Large percentages are planning to strike. They're actually bringing in a giant secret army, David.
Yes.
And so I think this could be the big false flag that takes us all down. I mean, this is it. I'm pretty sure now.
And the very first story that I covered when I was here was the guy who was on his way to visit his wife in Tokyo, stopped in Hawaii. Remember, he was, then they found out he was on a no-fly list and they wouldn't let him get out of Hawaii. You don't have any way to know that you're on a no-fly list until they take action against you. You don't have a public trial. You're not allowed to confront the accusers. You're not allowed to call your own witnesses, to have your own offense, to have a public charge. This is a star chamber proceeding.
Exactly. They let the foreign radicals in. He goes and gets his foreign jihad wife. They let them in to attack us. The neighbors know. And then we lose our rights on some magic secret list, which then becomes a take you off the street list, disappear you list.
Yeah. 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 This attack is not creating the public's desire for greater gun laws, but it fits into the Democrat agenda. And so when you go back and you look at the fact that they're having things like SWAT drills at that place on a regular basis, having it going on at the same time the attack is taking place, the reports that one of these guns or multiple pistols were police pistols that were given to these people, all of that, when you look at that and the fact that they've got this agenda set in place that they want to run through, I don't think that it's phony in the sense that these people didn't really want to do
but
this.
But they wound them up.
Yeah, exactly.
They gave them the guns. They did everything. No, it's definitely a type of false flag. There's four different types, three major ones, the subgroup. And this is definitely a false flag. The whole thing is, and it's sick, and they're trying to blame gun owners right now. David Knight, here's the baton, my friend. Jared wants to talk about missing nukes from a few years ago. Dante, James, Brando, Noah, and others. David Knight and much more coming up. David, the command base is yours. God bless you.
All right, thanks, Alex. We're going to be coming back. We've also got an interview at the bottom of the hour with Calvin Beisner from the Cornwall Alliance. He's going to look at the other side of the moral case on climate change. We'll be with him at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. Joining me now is Leanne McAdoo. My apologies to the callers. We wanted to have Leanne come on and talk about what's going to be on the nightly news tonight, as well as a interview that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But real quickly, Leanne, before you tell us about what's coming up tonight, I saw this article that we have up on Infowars.com today. Obama's attorney general promises to criminalize speech. He says violent language directed at Muslims is unacceptable. And of course, we look at all of this and their take on it when the Obama administration, first of all, saying, well, this is workplace violence. Mm-hmm. But then they say, well, this may be directed at Muslims. In the same way that Jerry Brown says this has absolutely nothing to do with Islam, but don't light the tree. You know, so he's admitting that it has to do with that because he doesn't want to trigger it. And then he kowtows to it. Well, you got the attorney general, Loretta Lynch, saying that we're not going to let anybody do anything to Muslims, painting them as the victims. It made me think of a movie a few years ago, and this is just the right time of year for it, American Carol. It was done by the guys that did Naked Gun and Airplane and that sort of thing. And what it took was, it was like the Christmas Carol theme, mm-hmm. okay, where a guy goes to sleep and he's visited by ghosts, but instead of ghosts about Christmas, it's ghosts about American history that come back and talk to him. And there's a scene in there where they're talking about the threat of Christians, and they have evidence of this. Let's look at the evidence of how dangerous radical Christians are.
An onslaught of death and destruction brought on by radical Christians as they attempt to spread their ideology through terror throughout the world.
There's a couple of priests who are breaking into a airplane cockpit. Turns a stick into a cross and starts attacking violence.
Praise Jesus!
Hail Mary, full of grace!
This is a nun. Jumps on a bus to blow it up.
Here I come!
There you go. That's the image that the left portrays.
Right.
Well, and that was funny when he did it a few years ago, but you know, it's really what's going on here. And that's what the attorney general is portraying as well.
Well, it's funny how they were, I guess, affected by climate change that has caused them exactly.
The source of every evil in the world is climate change. That's my guest in the next segment from the Cornwall Alliance. E. Calvin Beisner is going to be talking about that. And of course, they've blamed human trafficking now on climate change. Mm-hmm. You know, prostitution and slavery, that's because of, just like terrorism, it's all because of climate change, even flying rocks. Okay.
Right.
That's
And Obama comes out and says that there's no imminent threat to the United States. Meanwhile, now the FBI has announced they are treating this as a terror attack. The woman apparently pledged allegiance to ISIS. So, you know, he's wrong on that front, but then his attorney general comes out and says,
yeah,
The real fear I have is the backlash against Muslims.
Yes, so exactly. They can't use the terms radical Islam because that wouldn't be helpful. But it is helpful to their agenda to try to portray Christians and middle America as radicalized. That's the whole perversion inherent in this. And that should tell people everything they need to know. The other thing that I was struck by was, of course, this news report that the wife and mother had posted her allegiance to this guy who's high up in ISIS. And when I thought about that, and I tweeted this out last night, I said, you know, the hatred of this religion of peace against strangers that they don't even know was so much stronger than their love for their six-month-old daughter.
Right.
That they would leave her with somebody else, lie to the relatives about what this is, so they could go kill strangers in the name of their religion.
They would also have her in a home where they're building pipe bombs and having all this IED explosive material just laying. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's just truly shocking. But, you know, Obama doubles down again and says, if we take away the guns, then people like this won't happen. But I'm sorry, they're just going to go and build pipe bombs
again. These people aren't going to pay attention to the to the laws if they're not being armed directly by the government, because we know the government is giving arms to ISIS, as Kit Daniels pointed out yesterday. There are no background checks on the radical Islamicists that he's giving these arms to, because in most cases, they'll turn right around and say, well, you know, we were with the FSA, now we're with Al-Qaeda or with ISIS or whatever. And of course, there's no background checks on any of the people that he wants to fly into this country. He's telling us people who are on a no-fly list, and again, 91% of those people, when they had a background check performed on them by the FBI, were approved. So the question is, do they belong on this list? Mm-hmm. Is that Star Chamber procedure wrong? But he doesn't care about that. Instead, he's going to fly in terrorists, while he tells us that if he arbitrarily puts somebody on a no-fly list, they don't get to get armed anymore. And then there'll be other things that will be brought in as well. There'll be other recriminations on people, maybe travel restrictions or what, besides the no-flying.
Meanwhile, maybe there was 270,000 people improperly on the no-fly list.
Yes. Real quickly, give us the high points for what's on tonight on the nightly news.
Well, we're going to be talking about the bumbling idiots there at MSNBC and their lack of journalistic integrity as they're infiltrating an active crime scene, rushing into the shooter's home.
Amazing.
We're also going to be playing some clips of the Hillary's comedy clips that people have submitted as well.
Great. That's on the InfoWars Nightly News tonight, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Stay with us right after the break. We're going to be talking to E. Calvin Beisner, the Cornwall Alliance.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. Joining us in this segment of the program, we're going to have an interview with Dr. E. Calvin Beisner. He's the founder of the Cornwall Alliance. And we'll tell you about that and also about Dr. Beisner. He's really got a different kind of Christian perspective on the environment than the Pope has been selling us. And for those of you who aren't Christians, those of you who don't like religion, let me explain to you that you need to understand that this is going to affect you, and you need to understand the two different viewpoints, because religion is very much brought into the politics of this. And I would say that global warming, man-made global warming itself, is a form of religion that is being sold to people. So you need to understand the different belief systems of the different people. You need to have some tools in your belt to come back and to talk to people who do follow the Pope. And many conservative Catholics are very appalled at his encyclical that came out and his actions and his push and the priority that he's put on this. You know, of course, he wants to do economic redistribution. He wants to have energy allocation. All of those would be done by a global centralized control mechanism, a global governance mechanism. Is there a different way to do that? Is that the moral case? So we're going to talk to Dr. Beisner real quickly before we get to him. I just want to let you know about the specials we have today. We have a special ending tonight, the $9.95 Silver Bullet. That's the lowest price that we've had that at ever. And also 30% off of X2 Nascent Iodine. Both of those specials will end at midnight tonight. And, of course, there is still free shipping. So take advantage of that at InfoWarsLife.com. Let's go now to Dr. Beisner. Of course, he is an author of many books. He's written 4 books on population, resources, economics, and the environment. Over 8 other books, contributed to over 30 books. He's had hundreds of articles. He's lectured throughout North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. on these very things, lectured or appeared and given testimony as an expert witness on the ethics and the economics of climate policy before Congress. And it's a different point of view that the Cornwall Alliance has. Let me read you just this little excerpt here before we go to Dr. Beisner. He says, what we're faced with right now is an environmental movement whose worldview, theology, and ethics are overwhelmingly anti-Christian, whose science and economics are poorly done, whose policies often do little good for natural ecosystems, but do much harm to the world's poor, and whose religious teachings undermine fundamental Christian doctrine. So without any more introduction, let me go to Dr. Beisner right now. Dr. Beisner, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
You know, we've seen a lot of different things. We've seen scare tactics, first of all, from the left. We were just talking about some of those, and that we've been told that even human trafficking now is due to climate change. We've been told that terrorism is due to climate change. It seems like every evil in the world is due to climate change. We've even been told that we're going to have flying rocks due to climate change. That was the one that came out this last weekend. Yeah, I'm sure you saw that. So all these kind of things, I mean, who wouldn't want to stop all of those things, okay? And yet, when you look at the prescriptions that they have for this, we're told that we have to stop having turkeys, we have to stop having pumpkins, we have to stop having meat. As a matter of fact, even the way that we cook our vegetables, they would control that. We couldn't have wood-burning fires or barbecues or anything like that. I mean, it is absolutely coming to every aspect of our life that they're coming after us. And I want to talk to you about energy poverty, the resilience of the earth. But first, talk about your difference in your solution to perceived problems. The Pope has one of a global centralized control for economic redistribution for energy allocation. Tell us about your approach.
Well, our approach is guided both by our understanding of Scripture, the Bible, God's Word, and by our study of history and science and economics. And what we find from all of these is that two things are fundamentally indispensable to having any society conquer and stay out of poverty. The first one is a set of social circumstances. Private property rights, entrepreneurship, free trade, limited government, the rule of law, that sort of thing. And the second is access to abundant, affordable, reliable energy. Because without that energy, the only energy you've got left is the bodily energy from whatever food you can consume. And typically, that's very little energy. Mm-hmm. Most of us now in America consume on a daily basis the amount of energy that about 200 people would have consumed as little as a century ago. And we do this because we can get that energy in the form of electricity especially, but also in the form of gasoline for our cars. And it's that energy that has delivered us from absolute poverty, from the kind of poverty that dominated almost all of mankind for all of history up until the Industrial Revolution. And that way, people had average life expectancy at birth of between 27 and 28 years. Roughly half of all children would die before their fifth birthdays. And that was just standard for the vast majority of people around the world. But freedom and private property rights and energy have combined to lift roughly a third of the human race now out of even moderate poverty, and much more out of severe poverty. What we need to see now is for the last roughly 2 billion people to be lifted out of severe poverty. And that's not going to come without the combination of freedom and abundant, affordable, reliable energy. And unfortunately, the prescription for fighting global warming is to reduce our use of the most important source of that abundant, affordable, reliable energy, which is fossil fuels.
You know, I've heard this a lot. I've heard the point that you're making a lot, and the leader of India gets this. He says, we're living in abject poverty because we have no access to cheap, affordable energy. And we don't have the freedom. You know, it's affecting our longevity as well as our lifestyle. It's beyond even just lifestyle implications. It's causing them to die early, as you're pointing out. And he doesn't like the idea that this is going to be allocated by somebody at a global basis, that they're going to be basically kept down. But it's far worse than that, because they're going to use it to try to pull down the developed countries as well. Not only are they going to hold down the developing nations, but they're going to pull down the developed nations as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, the typical Major worldwide environmental advocacy organizations are headed by people who believe that the optimal human population would be about, maybe 300 to 500 million, which means we have to get rid of about 95 to 97% of the people in the world today. They also think that the planet would be far better off if people lived, as they put it, in harmony with nature. Well, you know, Thomas Hobbes understood what harmony with nature meant. He said, that way, life is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. But that's the direction they want to go. Yeah. And part of how they want to do that is, as you mentioned, by putting control of our economies into the hands of an elite, unelected, unaccountable few in terms of global governments, replacing capitalism, free trade as the major economic system of the world with a global socialist system. That's the wording, that's the claim of Cristiana Figueres, who's the chairman of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, who said earlier this year that this is our best opportunity to replace the development model of the last 150 years, which was basically capitalism, with a new development model, which is socialism. Well, you know, take a look. Where would you rather have lived over the last 80 years? In the Soviet Union, China, North Korea, Cuba, places like that, socialist countries, or in Western Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, and so on? Socialism is great at perpetuating poverty. Capitalism is great at lifting people out of it.
Exactly. You know, I think that this is all being informed more by the Pope's Jesuit and liberation theologist background than it is by any Christian theology that's involved in here. And we're talking about people being made poor by the socialism and the wealth redistribution that he advocates. This story, which just came out yesterday, chicken for diapers, bartering abounds in scarcity-stricken Venezuela. Here's one of the places, one of their socialist paradises. We can see how it works out, and we can see it in the poor countries where it is applied much quicker than we can in the richer countries. We're now seeing problems developing in richer countries to the degree they've had socialism, but you see it almost immediately when it's applied to a poor country like Venezuela. They have no money for food, for medicine, for water. They have to go to other countries. And of course, the globalist bankers who are financing this are bragging in Bloomberg that they get a 700% return on investment from Hugo Chavez and his successor because they understand that the banks get paid first. But I want to go to the broader theological backgrounds here that the people are looking at, because not only is Pope Francis selling a unified solution, he says we're not faced with two separate crises, one environmental, the other social, he writes, but rather one complex crisis, which is both social and environmental. So he sees this as a unified solution, this global governance, which is going to control wealth, which is going to redistribute wealth, okay, at a global level. But it also pulls out of something, the way that he sees the world, and kind of a pagan Gaia understanding of the environment. He says, there's a Christian idea that God gave humans the earth to cultivate, but not to conquer. And of course, we never really use that word conquer. We would use the word dominion, and we would talk about stewardship, and we would talk about conservationism versus the environmentalism that really kind of comes back to this kind of Gaia, where the earth is a living organism that is wiser than man, and we are essentially a parasite on that organism.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing there is the fruit of Christians or professed Christians really giving way to the secular world around us and adopting their values instead of biblical values. You know, the scriptures specifically state in Genesis 1:28 that having created man and woman in his own image, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, raping the planet, okay? Right. That's not what it means.
Right.
We should be good stewards of this earth. And at the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, the ministry that I lead, we define godly dominion this way. It's men and women created in God's image, laboring lovingly together to enhance the fruitfulness and the beauty and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbors. That's what we're called to do. And when we do that, we can see economies grow and the natural world well stewarded at the same time. As a matter of fact, what economic and environmental history together tell us is that the freer and wealthier the economy is, the cleaner the environment will be. And there's really a basic, simple explanation for that. A clean, healthful, beautiful environment is a costly good. Wealthy people can afford more costly goods than poor people can. So as you get wealthier, you become more concerned about making sure that your environment is clean and healthful and safe. And you not only are concerned about it, you can afford to do something about it. That's why we at the Cornwall Alliance have launched a petition called Forget Climate Change, Energy Empowers the Poor. That's at cornwallalliance.org. Forget climate change, energy empowers the poor. The point here is this: the prescriptions to try to solve climate change would all slow, stop, or reverse the economic development that lifts people out of poverty. What's needed instead is for people to rise out of poverty, and then they can take much better care of their own environments.
Absolutely. And we've seen that in the sense that we know that, and I've seen it firsthand, I know that ranchers take better care of their land than the Bureau of Land Management does. Absolutely. Because it's their livelihood. It's something that they are passing on to subsequent generations. We've seen it in Russia and China, where the Chinese government would just dump toxic materials into the water without any regard for it. And, of course, there was no recourse because nobody had any private property rights.
Right. Right. And so where property belongs to somebody in particular, that person has an incentive to take good care of it. This is why you find graffiti on public bathroom walls and not on the bathroom walls of your own home, because right? You've got an incentive to take good care of it. So we also recognize that the historic track record of governments in terms of environmental quality is much worse than the historic track record of private corporations. Do private corporations sometimes do bad things? Of course they do. All people are sinful, but they can be held accountable. Governments, it's much more difficult to hold them accountable. They've got the guns.
Yes, absolutely. And when we talk about stewardship, let's unpack that for people a little bit, because, of course, the steward is not the owner, but he's the person who is put in charge of taking care of things, essentially the estate caretaker. The number two, the penultimate owner of the property. And, of course, he has a vested interest in taking care of this because he has somebody to report to. So when we talk about being stewards of the environment, we understand that God ultimately owns this. We're ultimately accountable to him. And we want to take care of this for that reason as well as for subsequent generations.
Yeah, that's correct. And the Cornwall Alliance has produced a couple of different video resources that can really help on this. One is a 12-lecture series called Resisting the Green Dragon, which is at resistingthegreendragon.com. Those are 12 lectures on the biblical worldview, theology and ethics, and the good science and economics of environmental stewardship. And then most recently, in fact, we've just now got these back from the duplicator, a new documentary video called Where the Grass is Greener, and that is at wherethegrassisgreenerthemovie.com. wherethegrassisgreenerthemovie.com. This is interviews with over 30 of the world's top scholars on the science, the economics, the ethics, the political policy, and so on, of climate change and climate and energy policy. And the thrust of the message is that because climate risks are much, much smaller than the risks from poverty, since, after all, if you're even tolerably well off, you can thrive in any climate from the Arctic Circle to the Sahara Desert. But if you're very poor, you can't thrive in the most wonderful tropical paradise. Since climate risks are much smaller than the risks from poverty, economic development for the poorest people around the world really ought to be our priority. So, again, forget climate change. Energy empowers the poor, and that is at cornwallalliance.org/energyempowersthepoor.
Absolutely. And I have an article here of yours that is 10 points, 10 reasons to oppose harmful climate change policies. Yes. One of these is mandatory reductions in CO2 emissions pursued to prevent dangerous global warming would have little or no discernible impact on global temperatures, but would greatly increase the price of energy and therefore everything else, just as you've been pointing out. But you also point out, in terms of talking about energy poverty, and of course it is going to be those who are in poor countries that are going to be affected by the most, but you also point out in developed countries, the poor spend a higher percentage of their income on energy than others, so rising energy prices driven by mandated shifts from abundant, affordable, reliable fossil fuels to diffuse, expensive, intermittent green energy will, in effect, be a regressive tax. In other words, a tax that will tax the poor at a much higher rate.
Yeah, that's correct. And Great Britain has been experiencing this in just tragic ways, because Britain adopted policies in the early 2000s to try to reduce CO2 emissions by reducing fossil fuel use and replacing that with wind and solar. Their electricity prices skyrocketed, as, by the way, candidate Obama told us would happen if he were elected president, because he would bankrupt coal companies and coal power plants, and as a result, electricity prices would necessarily skyrocket. Well, when that happened in Britain, the number of what are called excess premature winter deaths.
Yeah, we'll cover that when we come back. We don't have enough time to get that. But yeah, the EWDs, people who die because of it's cold and they can't afford the power. When Obama said he's going to bankrupt the coal companies, he's also going to bankrupt us folks when he takes away our energy, and he will kill us at an earlier age. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we're talking to Dr. Calvin Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance, and we're talking about a Christian view of the environment. One of the things we want to talk about, of course, is how fuel poverty affects people's lifespans in developed countries, not just in the developing countries. Of course, we can all see how devastating it is to those people that are in countries where they have very little energy to begin with. But understand that this is going to be an effect against you and this country as well. Before we go back to Dr. Beisner, I just want to let you know that we have some expiring specials at the InfoWars store, our $9.95 silver bullet special, as well as 30% off X2 nascent iodine, ends at midnight tonight. And we also have free shipping. We have 20% off InfoWars select storable food. But those two specials, $9.95 for silver bullet. That's the cheapest it has ever been. You can get that today, but it's going to expire at midnight tonight. Again, that's at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Dr. Beisner, we were just talking before we went to the break about early winter deaths. You actually had an article at Cornwall Alliance about climate policies kill through fuel poverty. You actually quantize this, and it's not your figures. It's the World Health Organization says that they estimate 30 to 40% of the early winter deaths in Europe and Great Britain are attributable to fuel poverty. And they say that just in England and Wales alone, that would be 8 to 11,000 deaths because people can't afford to heat their home. Yes.
Every winter. And yet, people like President Obama will tell us that climate change is our greatest threat. I mean, this is just absurd. The reality is that poverty is what kills more people around the world every year than anything else. Take this as an example. In sub-Saharan Africa, the average woman spends about 6 to 8 hours a day doing nothing but gathering wood and dried dung in order to use those as her primary cooking and heating fuels. That, of course, means that that's 6 to 8 hours a day of her bodily energy that she doesn't have to do other things to lift herself and her children out of poverty. But the smoke from that kills about 4 million people a year, most of them women and young children, and it also gives hundreds of millions of others upper respiratory diseases and eye infections that keep them from working to lift themselves out of poverty. So that kind of thing is actually probably the greatest environmental risk to humans anywhere in the world. And what is needed to replace that is to get these people on an electric grid with energy provided for that grid by coal or natural gas. In some places, nuclear could be done, where instead of that dirty, dirty fuel, they would have a very clean fuel, and it would be abundant, it would be affordable, it would be reliable. Here in the United States, the average household spends only a few minutes a day earning the income necessary for all the electricity that we use. And yet that electricity does far more for us than just to cook our food and heat our huts, right? Well, they need to have that same kind of thing. And yet the policies that President Obama, that Pope Francis are promoting would actually keep them from getting this and would harm them as they're already harming the fuel poverty-stricken of Great Britain.
And I think that's one of the real ethical issues here. Where is that money going? When you see the increase in utility bills, we just had the day before this Paris climate talk began, we had a Spanish company, Abengoa, went bankrupt And we had given them $3 billion to subsidize a massive renewable energy source. These people have in Spain, where they were, they've tripled the rates there, triple what they are here in the United States. That's where the money is going to these crony capitalists who can't even stay in business without massive government subsidies. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner. He's with the Cornwall Alliance. And we'll, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. And tune in tonight for the InfoWars Nightly News at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.